Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, I have one question for you. Are you going to be ready for this Sunday's WWE Cash in the Vault? When John Cena, Sheamus, Bray Wyatt, The Viper, Kane, other men, every man is going to be in this WWE arena. In a super duper ladder match, coming to you live this Sunday. Who's going to win? Elbow Cena, all day, every day. Fuck this company.
Hey,
spoiler
guys,
alert,
this...
John Cena wins everything.
Hey, guys, this is Those Guys, with your host, Matt Marrero, waking up everyone in this house. Oh, God, I'm dying. Please help me, Satish. Carry on the show. Carry on, my
friend. Good evening, everyone. I mean, not so much of a good evening, I guess.
Yeah,
kind of like a meh evening. I mean, because it's not like the match quality was bad for the most part.
Better than Payback.
I mean, arguably, and it's funny because... We went on about Payback, and we hated Payback.
Right.
And then
yeah.
we found out everyone loved Payback. And we sat
yeah.
there and thought, maybe we were wrong. And then they fucked
yeah.
up for a month, and we thought, no, we were right. We were visionaries. And this pay-per-view, match quality-wise and arguably storyline-wise, was better than the last. So,
oh, yeah.
It's just...
There were some things wrong. Also, by the way, if you don't know, this is Those Guys. Hey, everyone, we're doing Money in the Bank, not Cash in the Vault. That'll be next month. But,
can't we do Cash in the Vault? I like that.
I think we should do. Yeah, that was nice. I picked Money in the Vault because I didn't want to be too far off. But no, Cash in the Vault.
No, I wanted to
perfect.
TNA the shit. Cash in the Vault.
Cash in the Vault. Oh, my God. What's Juan Cena doing in the Impact Zone?
Juan Cena, Irish yeah. guy, Antonio
oh
Langston.
What's Shamrock Shake doing in the Impact Zone?
Oh, God.
What's Claudius III doing in the Impact Zone?
It is what it is. Look, I mean, because mm-hmm. we usually start with, I guess, the big event that happened. And
yeah.
John Cena did relatively nothing in a pretty decent match and won the match by
yeah.
doing what he always does. And as Matt and I were talking about, it was a little bit different for us this time around because, like, for me, as I explained it to Matt, and he sort of disagreed
right.
but had the same feeling. Like, if I have an I told you so moment, if I sit there and think, ha, I told you that was going to happen, there's a bit of pleasure in it for me. You know, I sit there and
yeah.
I'm like, ha, because I pointed it out, I feel smart, you know. But there's no pleasure in it for me by pointing this out. But at the same time, I'm not sitting there, like, fuming, like, God damn it, John Cena did it again. Because
yeah,
it's
that,
like,
yeah.
it happened again. It happened again. I mean, I'm
and
not saying I like it. I don't like it. I just...
Yeah, that's a problem.
I
don't want to talk too much about this now because I think a lot of the spots should be reserved for later. But what I do want to mention to you, at least to start off our show on a very terrible note, what I feel is that... Okay, I think what the WWE wanted, right, they wanted either two reactions, the obvious two reactions, either extreme anger from the people that think John Cena sucks, where they're going to be in the stands constantly buying tickets, if only to see at the next two pay-per-views John Cena lose and get beaten up, hopefully by Brock Lesnar, to the point of no return, to the point where he's actually injured, right? There's those people. Right? And then there's the people who, of course, like John Cena, who are just happy with this happening yet again, right? So I assume WWE wanted one or two of these things. However, for me, they've gotten apathy, and that's a huge issue, because I'm worried now that other people might also be experiencing this same apathy, and they might be thinking, why do I need to subscribe to my network? You know, why do I need to keep on watching? And I think they really need to understand that no matter what, even if John Cena didn't win, kids wouldn't tune out, right? Adults, the people who are actually paying them, because guess what? Kids, as much as you think they have pull, they might have pull watching your show, but they're not going to have pull getting your network if the adults for some reason think, it's too hard, or, we can put money to other things. But the adults that are subscribing to your network, that's a huge issue if they start to think, why do I need to tune in?
Yeah, I mean, very simply put, I mean, based on Daniel Bryan's announcement in the pre-show, since we can just
right.
start in chronological order,
yeah.
with him basically talking about how he may need another neck surgery, I thought that the outcome of the rest of the matches was going to go a long way in determining how serious he was. You know, because
yes,
we had no outstanding rumors going in basically saying, like, oh, Daniel's going to bullshit tonight, you know, so we didn't know.
We had no rumors saying, because usually we do get a lot of rumors for a lot of things, some being bull, some being real, you know, that have happened tonight, like the John Cena thing. So we assumed that this could have been kayfabe, because we would have rumors saying, oh, yeah, John, you know, we've heard rumors that Daniel Bryan might not be doing so well, but that was actually about a good week or two ago. So this is new information. Like, they've actually kept this under wraps for a bit.
Yeah, and I guess based on the fact that, you know, spoiler alert, John Cena won.
Right.
It seems like Daniel may have been serious. And I guess
it really worries
me, because I don't want to think about Daniel having one neck surgery, let alone two.
Yeah, I mean, if we're lucky, this really is just the neck surgery that gets him closer to being better. I mean, I know it sounds crazy. I have really never had surgery, so I can understand. You know, I'm not the best person to talk to about this, but if this is really going to help him on a path to getting better, to getting back in the ring, and to doing less headbutts, flying headbutts, I'm all for it.
I mean, I guess we'll see what happens. I mean, we still don't have confirmation either way as to whether Daniel is being serious or this was storyline.
Yes.
But I am a bit more worried now that this is real.
Yes,
and
as am I. And I only bring it up because I also agree with you, because I saw we all saw the Bo Dallas section, right? You know,
right.
When Bo came out. And I wanted someone to hit someone, right? I wanted Bo Dallas. Also, by the way, if anyone wants to call in and talk about a specific segment or match that we're talking about at the moment, right, if anyone wants to do that, please call in. The number is 718-664-9468. Again, the number is 718-664-9468. So when Bo Dallas came out and said what he said, and you have Daniel Bryan saying what he said, I assume that Bo is going to start beating him up or something, because you have to do something to make Bo look heelish. I mean, he's been fighting heels for 2 weeks and actually has his Bo Leave, you know, thing being chanted while he's saying it, you know, echoed. So you need him to do something that makes you think, wow, he's attacking Daniel Bryan. Screw that guy, right? But he didn't do that. He kind of just awkwardly left the ring, which makes me think, oh, they can't even put Daniel Bryan through simple bumps. There's some concern here.
Yeah, well, first off, I mean, by the way, to echo what Matt said, he's basically saying, if you want to call in tonight, call in when we're talking about what you want to talk about.
Yes.
You just
keep
the flow of the show going nicely.
Yeah, exactly.
Topic of the Bo thing, I think for me, I don't want to think too much into it, because Bo isn't Rusev. So he's not the type of guy that really, even as a heel, goes around beating people down anyway. You know?
No, but here's the thing, though. He has done it during a match, which is, yes, it was during a match.
Right.
Still, when he felt that he was fighting Santino recently, and when he felt as if he was being mocked or made fun of or something, he started beating up Santino. So you would think that at the very least he would try. I mean, he's even made some, in my opinion, funny references to Daniel Bryan before, where he was just, you know, when Bo was trying to have his own little yes movement, and he said, if a B-plus player like Daniel Bryan can do it, so can I, right? So little things like, so you're thinking, if he's in the ring with this guy, and this guy is, you know, no matter who it is, really, if you're making fun of Bo, I mean, Bo has been shown recently to have this kind of switch, you know, where if he's being made fun of, it's just, I don't want to be made fun of, you know, and then we'll start to attack, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit unnerving, where it's like, you know, all they could have had was just, you know, some cheap heel heat, you know? Daniel Bryan could have gotten security, they could have done something to have, you know, removed Bo from him, you know, anything. But they didn't do that. They just had Bo go, oh, okay, and then leave. And it makes you think, like, huh, like, could he have, you know, like, again, you're assuming that Daniel Bryan could not take the hits.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know. For me, I just think it doesn't fit Bo's character, because they're trying to push this subtlety with him.
Right.
Because there are some people who are still confused about whether he's a heel or a face. So,
well,
by doing
I think they
like,
are.
Huh?
I think they are confused, you know, when they really shouldn't be. Should be a heel.
That would be really bad. But
no, I've said this once, and I'll say it again, and I don't want to talk about this too much, but I said this once and said it again. I feel as if they're trying to test the waters backstage without actually having people... I think I told you this before we got on the air. You'll have Triple H, knowing, yeah, he's a heel. He's been a heel in NXT for God knows how long. And then Vince McMahon going, but, how do you know that? You know, as if he's trying to sound like this guru wizard. But let's just go out there and let's see. You know, where one week Vince is let to do, you know, they let Vince do what he wants to do, and he's put in the ring against Titus O'Neil, of all people, right? And then
right.
One week Triple H is doing what he wants to do, and then here he is with Daniel Bryan. Or here Bo is with, you know, people like Santino and, you know, Sin Cara and Xavier Woods, people that you clearly need to sit there and think, all right, the mask guy is a good guy. You know, Xavier Woods is a good guy. You know, Santino is obviously a good guy. This guy, this other guy, there's something off about him, you know? And now, so that's what I'm saying, where I feel as if there's something wrong in the back, right? But thankfully they got this right. But as you know, as I was going to say, as we always mention, there's always a catch. You know, they got this right because I know even a cage sider, on, you know, someone on cage side seats said it would be great if Bo interrupted this segment. Which, again, perfect. Of course you're going to have Bo interrupt this segment. But the fact that it was, it feels as if it was half-assed, because again, I feel like it was, because this could have been the moment where they really defined his character, where people could have said, he's attacking Daniel Bryan. You know, or he's trying to.
I don't think they're ready yet. I don't think they're ready to do it.
But they should be, because, I mean, this guy has been on NXT.
While I may not agree with it, I don't
right.
think they feel like they're ready. That's what I'm arguing.
Fair enough.
I think you're right. Like, I would have defined him as a heel by now. Because
that's why
I was so happy last week, because I thought, and I still don't know for sure, I thought he threw the microphone at Titus.
Okay, yes.
You get what
yes.
I mean?
Right,
and then
yes.
he was like, oh, silly me, Mr. Butterfingers, because that made sense to me. And I was like,
right.
oh, that was really cool. It was like, finally a heel thing. But I
right.
guess they're not ready to do it yet.
But anyway, but moving forward, that Wyatt music was very bad for Wyatt versus the Usos. That was really bad.
It was weird.
No, I say, okay, here's why I say it was bad. It was weird when it was carnival music with nothing else, you know, when the lights were on Raw. But while that was weird, I also enjoyed it because it really fit them very well, and it wasn't jarring. This opening was extremely jarring, where it's just, you know, it does the standard Wyatt cut, you know, screen, and then it's all black, and then you have, you know, the child singing Whole World in His Hands, and then it goes into a random rock song, and then the Wyatts are coming out with, you know, the lights not so dark, and then another cut with the standard Wyatt thing, and then the Wyatts are there, and it's bright. That was the most, I don't think I've mentioned this on the air. The Seth kind of change in his outfit over the last few weeks has been a bit weird, because it really shows you how Vince just did this out of nowhere, where they literally had nothing to put him in. They had no music for him, you know,
mm-hmm.
so it was weird. But at the very least, you could argue that they were on shows that you may never see again. I know they're on the network, which, you know, you should buy, by the way, if you don't have it yet. But still, you could argue that maybe people will skip them, you know, to watch the pay-per-view matches, you know, to just watch straight pay-per-views. Why would you debut this at a pay-per-view? Of all places... Like, this was just, it was just a very, I know it might sound like I'm sticking on this, you know, a bit too long, but it's just really dumb. There's so many other things you could have done. But, and, you know, you introduced something that arguably was superior on Raw. And then you put this on a pay-per-view, which immediately put a bad taste in my mouth. Even though it was a good match.
Yeah, I just thought it was stupid, to be honest. Because
yeah,
you would think that, like, that kind of, like, you would think the roles would be reversed, basically, as you described it, where, you know,
mm-hmm.
you pull out the creepier, more guaranteed thing on the pay-per-view. But, I mean, it is what it is. I think I was more upset at the fact that they didn't win. Because,
yes.
for me, it feels like the Usos haven't been booked to do shit except be seen as lackeys recently, and not actually his lackeys. But,
yes,
you know.
Cena's? No. It feels as if they were piggybacking on John Cena. And then when John Cena said, excuse me, guys, you can't piggyback on me. I know I'm Superman, but I also have to climb a ladder. So can you get off of my piggyback? And then I have to train to climb up a ladder. So can you jump on Sheamus for a while? And literally, as Sheamus was like, as John Cena's basically running a race with the Usos both on his back, he stopped because he got up to the Sheamus checkpoint. And then they jumped off of Cena onto Sheamus. And then Sheamus said, thanks, fella. And then he just kept on running.
Yeah, no, like, it's just, bad video game analogy aside, it's just like, no, I mean, it's just, for me, it bothers me because these are our tag team champions. You know, this isn't, it's not hired mercenaries. These aren't, it's not a video game where you get to just pass off these support characters. You know, these are your tag team champions.
Exactly.
And they've been booked as, for lack of a better explanation right now, support characters. And
also,
really
I was, that's funny. I'm happy you took it that way. I was thinking more of like a jog, like kind of like a three-legged race type thing. But thank you for thinking video games. Thank you.
That was a
video
game for me.
But,
it was just
but
like,
no,
yeah,
I understand.
Character.
Yeah, I know. These are tag team champions.
When it comes down to them doing this match, in my head, I was like, you know what? The Wyatts have been booked strong, the family. These guys have been booked pretty weak. Let's make the change. Because as much as I like the Usos, there's nothing they've been doing recently that requires them to have the title. So why not just put it on the Wyatts so they have a little more interesting, like, dimension to their little family?
Yeah.
And,
no, I agree completely. I agree completely. And I can, and sadly we can argue the same thing about Paige. We'll get to that later. But at the same time though, you know, I still feel as if there's so much more they can do with Paige. Where with the Usos, I think they do need some more fine tuning. And that's the thing, where they're not even giving them fine tuning time because they're just throwing them in with, maybe they think that throwing them in with John Cena is fine tuning time, which fair enough, but not Sheamus after. That's a huge issue. You know, where it's just, really? So any muscular white man can own two Usos? Like, that's how it feels, all jokes aside.
It's,
you know,
I did not think of it that way, and now I feel kind of bad, because, I don't know. That being said, I mean, you know.
It was a good match. I think that they kept them out of the ring together, all four of these men, long enough that it actually did make the match look better because of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that much. I did like the match. I like that the Usos did look strong. It's the strongest they've looked in a freaking while. I also believe that the Usos cannot be shown up by their cousin, right? Where it's like, oh, you have a Superman punch? That's awesome. We have a flying Superman punch. I hope you like that. Right? Did you notice that when, I forgot which one, jumped off of, I think it was the barricade, and just does a flying Superman punch? And I thought, really, guys? I mean, okay.
Yeah, it runs in the family.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. I mean, I will admit, though, there was a point when I knew the Wyatts were going to lose, two points, where I knew the Wyatts were going to lose, but it was okay, right? And the first one was when you had, Harper doing the suicide dive, the second one, and I thought, even if they lose, it's okay. You know, because this match really did make the Wyatts look so good that it doesn't feel as if they lost via, you know, some shenanigans or something. They lost because, I mean, you have Usos gang up on you. You know, it's two. It's not just one. You know, and of course, there again, there were some great spots that really made you think, oh, well, the Wyatts, they did good. Although I will admit, there was that superplex to Rowan, that double superplex. It felt kind of long and, like, botch-ish, where, like, someone really should have, you know what I mean? Where it was one of those, you know, suspension of disbelief things that was a bit too much.
Yeah. For me, that definitely, I mean, I kind of try to look past those things. Not saying that you are wrong to point it out, but I guess because, you know, we've both been watching wrestling for years. So we know that
there are certain
spots where we sit there and we're like, yeah.
Well, you know what it is? It's strange if only because, and I know maybe it's because of the fact that it was two against one, but when Cesaro does it, for some reason, it never feels
Cesaro
super
being
forced.
Stronger? And
yes.
Because of that, he can channel more explosiveness. So physically in the moment, he is more capable. This has nothing
fair
to
enough,
do, you know,
fair
that's
enough,
more of
fair
a...
Enough.
And it, to be fair, it's more of a compliment to Cesaro than it is a criticism of the Usos. Because,
fair point.
Yeah, it is what it is. Because, and this is coming from a guy who watched someone in Rey Mysterio set up for his finisher in the most obvious way for years.
Of course,
for me, suspension of disbelief, not that bad.
Yeah, so I would like to mention, before we move on, the real reason why I also feel as if, you know, against Paige, where you'll have, you know, me focusing more on the Usos, like you mentioned with the whole not being booked well enough, you have them retain their championship, right? Yet you have someone like Big E, I know there were different circumstances with Bad News Barrett, but you have someone like Big E, who was booked terribly and then loses. And yet, for some reason, the Usos get to retain. You know, that's the kind of thing that I feel a bit. Also, to heels, where it's just, you know, it's really weird when they let heels win, if only because it kind of shows as if there really is that McMahon influence behind the heels that are winning. Where you look at Bad News Barrett, who's getting a push. You look at, you know, Fandango. I know technically he didn't win, but he was also, Vince McMahon is still apparently kind of high up on Fandango.
Well, to be fair, Bad News Barrett got too much of a push. I'm going to cry.
I'm so sorry. It's okay. We'll hold each other.
I hate Swagger so much.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it later. Don't worry. But
I hate Swagger so much. But, yeah.
But, yeah, I feel as if they, you know, again, you can tell which ones are being pushed by people from the top, which is obviously silly. You know, it's like, well, the ones that are getting pushed are the winners. Yes, but certain faces feel as if they're randomly winning only because they are faces, right? Where again, like why would you not at least let the tag team champions be the Wyatt so that Bray could at least have something to come up with? Because eventually, I hate to say this, because at first I was like, no, you know, Satish, don't worry. But now it is coming to the point where if Bray Wyatt keeps on losing, what else does he really have to say?
See, that's part of it for me, too, where it's like,
yeah,
if the brothers at least walk away with the titles,
right. There's
something there. You know, there's a moment where you can think, okay, so his crew has something going on. You got to.
And then they can lose a month later, because I'm a big fan of, you know, having the title switch over
that's
a bit quicker.
Okay for me. Like, but at least you give them the reason, because then you can give Bray something important to do in that month. And as a stable, collectively, they matter. Right now, Bray hasn't done shit in a while.
Yeah.
And
I would also,
the Wyatt
and I would
brothers
also,
have just lost again.
And I would also like to argue that the Wyatt brothers lost, yes. And now we also have a climate where we don't have that many tag teams. Where you only, think about it, the only real heel tag team you have other than the Wyatts right now are Ryback and. And I don't feel as if they deserve to even fight for the titles again. So, like, really, like, is that going to be your next major pay-per-view match? You know, you needed the Wyatts to win to at least shake things up, because then you could have the Wyatts versus, I don't remember their actual name, so I'm calling them Dust in the Wind. You could have had them, fight with Dust in the Wind. That would have been amazing.
Were they given a name, by the way?
I believe they were. Sadly, it's escaping my mind right now.
Because in my head, they're just the Dust, and that's not like to be quirky or anything. It's just Stardust and Goldust, you know?
Yeah, I know. Stardust, I think, was... No, that's the name of Cody. It's left my head right now. So I don't know. But what matters is,
And I'm the one who's been drinking.
I know, right? Put it down. Don't worry. John Cena will hopefully lose it to Lesnar. Put the drink down. Naomi versus Paige. Again, you mentioned this before. We even, got onto the podcast. There were stupid things about this match. Quite true, but I don't think the match as a whole was stupid. However, it's very hard to argue that the stupid things, because I'm not going to argue if the stupid things couldn't overtake it, as if it's a heartless overtaking you. I agree. The stupid things could have consumed your soul.
There was some rough botching in this match, to be honest.
Which ones did you notice?
I mean, honestly, I thought the spill outside of the ring was a bit more of a botch than anything.
Oh, that was the only botch, I feel. That's what I'm saying.
But
there was a botch.
Painful
but
to me. Like, I felt bad.
Okay,
you know?
Very true.
I mean, you were, promoting Naomi's athleticism before the podcast.
Which I agree.
I can't disagree with you there.
Yeah.
Because the moonsault, the little kip up, she had athleticism going.
It was things that I haven't ever seen from her, which is why I feel
I feel like if you gave them more time with each other, not tonight, but overall,
right,
that they could eventually, those specific two, could actually put on a really good match.
Yeah.
You know, because they're both athletic, talented people.
Yeah. It's funny because jumping to the botch, before I really talk about the beginning and why I hated it, jumping to the botch, I want to say that I was very confused at first. But then JBL said something, and I actually kind of agree. When you have these sweaty men doing these sweaty things, on these ropes, and you're trying to do something and I say sweaty if only because, they come out, and they're not only either drenched in sweat or drenched in something that they're given to, put on to be slippery. I don't know. It would be as if they tried, imagine if the Shield were still together. Don't cry. The Shield were still together, and Roman Reigns was standing right there in a tag team match. They would have, Naomi would have slipped just by sitting there. So So that's an interesting point to bring up. And when JBL brought that up, I thought, huh, you know, maybe that's accurate. You know, maybe that's not a way to – because
– I'm sure it was half accurate, but it was also like a – I know that JBL likes Paige. She's GM of NXT. He knows that she can do what she can do. So I'm sure part of it was just his instinct, like, protect the superstars.
Which is good, because they needed that. Because I'm really worried that Vince is upset, because he was yelling in their ear, make a funny joke. Why is no one talking? You know?
I'm sure that there are moments, like, JBL will get in his ass sometimes. But there are moments where he shows that he is a very talented veteran guy on commentary.
Oh, yeah, and he is. I feel like many of them can do better if they aren't being talked to in their ear, mostly just JBL. I think JBL is just that guy where he could do a lot better if he was not being held back. And, you know,
because if you
weren't
do straight heel work, he can do that, and he can be really irritating as a heel in a good way, you know?
Yes.
So I feel also, like he's watered down.
He's watered down, and also the fact that he constantly, like, okay, I will admit, yes, he says the same things over and over and over again, but I feel as if, like, how we make jokes about us having catchphrases, buy my shirt with sharpshooter on it. I feel as if they actually want to promote that in a way, where it's just say the same thing over and over and over again, so people will be like, that's JBL's catchphrase. He's twerking, Moggle.
By the way, as we're talking about commentary for a moment,
yes.
Did you hear what Michael Cole says as we were signing off Money in the Bank?
Oh, let's not even go there yet. We'll talk about that at the end, shall we?
Oh, my
please,
God.
Just,
thank God.
Not,
okay.
Please.
As long
please,
as you
please.
Heard it.
I'm going to hug you. I
want to
hug you. It's okay.
We're
going to
talk about it.
Okay.
Great.
But I feel angry. It's okay. I'm talking.
That
I'm saying it to myself. Not even to you. Not even to you. I'm saying it to myself. But anyway, with the botch, it upset me if only because, and we talked about this before the episode, it upsets me because I'm worried that people in the back, not even people like us or people who aren't like us, who haven't seen NXT, people in the back are going to think, yep, see, this is why we haven't given them a lot of time, and now when we do, this happens. This is why we don't do this.
And it irks
me
because, it was a short match to begin with, and so with time, that they could have made up for that more. Because there was obviously some moments where you thought, wow, these two girls can work with each other, you know?
Which is really weird, because Paige is obviously amazing, but I think they've watered her down because of who she's been up against.
Yeah,
where,
you know,
they don't
once
want,
she was allowed to be herself, like, her submissions and shit look pretty good. The Rampage DDT still looks pretty good to me. And, I mean, I'll admit openly, I always talk about this, I'm probably biased because I really think Paige is a talented performer. But I don't think this was as bad as people will make it out to be, and it's certainly not going to be as bad as Vince and Kevin Dunn are going to try to make it out to be.
Which is why it's really bad, and I'm worried because, again, you know, I don't want them to think, oh, well, the problem is this. Oh, why were people chanting CM Punk chants during the second Divas match? It's because we decided to have two in one night. It's like, no, you know, there's other problems. Nope, that's the problem. People just don't like women wrestling.
That. Like, I'm glad that they did that, and I really, I want to sit there and really give them a thumbs up for that, because it sounds like almost like I'm just patting them on the back. But no, two women's matches on a card is a real step up from what we've been seeing recently.
Which sometimes has been none.
It is, and I'm really glad. Yeah, there were some in the last year where there were no women's matches, and I just sat there and screamed, like, in a three-hour pay-per-view with the pre-show in 2014, 2013, these kind of times. You can't not have a women's match, especially with so many talented people around.
Yeah.
So,
and thankfully,
really nice.
Yeah, but it was a problem because they were short, and this one wasn't as short as it could have been, but it was short. And of course, by the way, this is what gets me angry. It feels as if whoever booked this pay-per-view or this pay-per-view match had not seen anything previously.
Right, because yet again, our glorious Divas champion was booked to be pretty weak.
Not even just that. I'm sorry, but I'm referring to how the Funkadactyls came out. Because here's the thing, ready? You had Cameron.
Interesting.
Here's the thing.
Because
Cameron had this is the first time I might ever say this. Cameron was a great actress. She had this look of, I'm only going through the motions.
Right?
And you can even tell by her motions, right? So again, kudos there. But hugging Naomi after not even screaming at her, thinking,
like, I know it was half-assed. I know it's supposed to be half-assed. It was prolonged, I think. Because honestly, you might as well just do it now. And I know there are some people that are going to argue that they're probably prolonging it for Total Divas, and I guess I'll accept that because that's the only reason they're doing the storyline in the first place.
But then they shouldn't have even started it yet, and that's
what
their
I was
gonna problem.
Say. Yeah, my criticism would be that if you want to prolong this, this is not a hot feud. You should have waited to do it because now it's just stupid. In my opinion, that was just stupid.
All they had to do, if they didn't, you know, if they were going to do this right now, and we're going to say, let's pull the trigger, all they had to do is, you lost the match. You know, I thought that you were going to win, and then I could fight you for it because I'm your best friend. You know, something like that. Where, hey, maybe it's going to happen on Raw, but in no way should she have hugged Naomi.
Even if it was half-assed, because it did look half-assed, give them that much. I mean, I thought it seemed like it was just that they're there. You lost.
But I don't know. They didn't put that much focus on it, so it kind of looked like she was just like, hey, it's... Again, like, they're there, you lost. It's, you know, here's the thing. With the way they've been telling her, or the way she's been taking it upon herself to act recently, she seemed as if she was just as angry with Paige as she was with Naomi for even being in that position. So when she loses, you have to at least have her maybe laughing in the corner or something, like, you know, like oh, yeah, I'll pat you on the back, but, like, again, maybe a microphone to pick up. Hey, I mean, I know you lost, but, you know, that sucks for you, right? None of that, though. Just Paige winning, and then we move forward. And it's like, okay, so then why not? Let's just move forward. Because if WWE didn't care about it that much, maybe, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't. I don't know.
I'm
angry.
It irritates me, I guess. That's it.
I will say this much, though, before we move on, because let's actually care about something. Let's really mention something. Naomi cleared the top rope to hit Paige. That is how a, quote-unquote, divas match should be.
Yeah, that's the thing. Both of those participants are very athletic and talented. You know, and I have to be honest,
I didn't know that about Naomi.
Yeah,
just that.
I have not always been the biggest fan of Naomi. And there were some moments tonight where I didn't see a star in the making, but I certainly saw the potential of somebody that I want as part of this new Divas Revolution type thing. Like, I want her to be one of the people who are featured.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And
also,
that's cool.
We actually didn't get to mention this, strangely. A face versus a face match is really weird. Like, we didn't really get to talk about this over the last few weeks because of Cameron being
a
bad actress.
The reason it matters, though, or it should have mattered, was because you wanted this to be a Naomi-Cameron breakup thing.
Exactly.
And then they didn't do it, and that's why it's stupid, in my opinion.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm glad Paige won clean. I am really glad she won clean because at least, you know, no interference, no nothing. Wonderful. Paige does look pretty strong again in terms of the outcome of the match.
Yes.
So, you know, I guess I'll take that.
I mean, it's
that.
Good.
I just
also,
feel like...
we have ourselves a caller. I would like to put him or her through. Hello, caller.
I'm back with a vengeance.
You're black with
Daniel?
A vengeance? Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Big E? Did Big E call?
Okay, look, you guys. You cut me off. You cut me off last time.
Oh, that's right. I did, actually. We cut off Daniel. We don't do this to everyone. Please call in. Don't think that we're doing this ever. We did this to Daniel.
No,
because,
I cut
Daniel's
him off
good.
Because he didn't have the WWE Network.
Oh, that's right.
No.
So, Daniel, did you see this pay-per-view?
I did see the pay-per-view. I have the network now.
Oh! Ha-ha!
Wait,
look
really?
At this.
Yeah,
I don't,
dude,
I have
like referral links. You could have taken my referral link and we could have got like $25 each, yo.
Fine. Oh, thanks.
Cancel your network subscription. Take all the money. Take all the money out of whatever card you used. They'll cancel it for you. Cancel it. No, but seriously though. So I assume you're here to talk about the Divas match that we were just talking about, or maybe Paul Revere.
Oh, Paul Revere. Why?
The elbow is coming. The elbow is coming.
but no, I assume you are, since those were the matches we were talking about. Which we were either moving on to that or we were talking about the Divas match. So which match were you calling about?
What's the next match?
It was after the Divas match, we were talking about Paul Revere and Big E. We were going to move on to that. Not Big E. Sorry, Paul Revere and... I can't even remember who fought him. Adam Rose, everyone. I haven't been drinking, I swear.
I actually wanted to talk to you about the person. When you cut me off, I said Seth Rollins was going to win Money in the Bank.
But he didn't. Have I really been drinking? I don't know. But Daniel,
I've been drinking.
Yeah,
and
right?
I'm fine here. But
all right. But Daniel, did you not hear what we said, Daniel? Daniel.
What?
We said if you have a WWE
like
network, you can't call
it. I feel like this is leading up to a storyline where you're going to hang up, like you're going to cut Daniel off, and it just becomes this, like, turn where you're, as an abuse of power, we get, like, a third person on the podcast.
Yeah,
Daniel, what we said was, we said that if you, what we were saying was, is that, you know, we're doing things in a way where if you want to talk about a specific match, you wait till we bring it up. So
okay,
I'm sorry, but I don't. You know, it's just a huge issue that, you know, I mean, not a huge issue.
I'm sorry. I didn't know this about this.
It's okay. No, it's okay. Don't worry about it, Daniel. It's fine. It just happens sometimes. Don't worry about it.
Why
it's
is
okay.
John Cena's music on?
What music?
I heard John Cena's theme.
I'm sorry. I can't hear that at all.
Okay, let's just talk about the Divas match.
I'm sorry, Daniel?
Can we just talk about the Divas match?
I like this. You have found the WWE equivalent of shock therapy. You just found shock therapy. You took a guy who called in angry because we cut him off, got him to basically admit that he did what we wanted to get him to talk. He called back and then submitted to what we wanted to talk about after what was subtle heel comments and John Cena's music. And I really want to sit there and think now, if John Cena's going to be featured on R-Truth's new rap album, what kind of power does that music have? Because I would honestly like to do a review now of that rap album when it comes out, because I feel like it's going to change people's opinions
on
life.
We can't. All right, no, but actually, Daniel, could we talk about the Paul Revere versus Adam Rose match?
Oh,
I would like to talk.
Man.
I would. It's come. Okay, then actually, that's perfect. Then I want to hear what you have to say about this because I might agree with you.
Damian Sandow, how far have you fallen, sir?
Oh, not so much. But no,
you used to at least be respected, revered, if you may.
You're an asshole.
But statistics,
you just
have to believe. But seriously, though, here's the thing, Daniel. While I've heard that, it's kind of funny. I've actually heard that from Ashley Colpan, someone who sadly was supposed to be on the podcast with us tonight, but she couldn't. It's okay. She was on me with the Total Divas podcast we did about a month or so ago, and will hopefully be with us for the next pay-per-view, damn it. But anyway, the point is this. The point is that I've heard that from her, too. I disagree. I believe Satish also disagrees. But what I would like to say, and I want to hear what you have to say about this, Daniel, I feel as if this was a bad segment and match, if only because this was not promoted at all.
Yeah, it wasn't promoted. And if Adam Rose is a guy who needs to be promoted.
Exactly. He did. He didn't get that many cheers. I think because people were confused. You know, it's upsetting because I would like to mention that, okay, I'm not saying, okay, here's the thing, and I know it might sound crazy. People are confused. You make them seem like they're idiots. But they are. They are ants, Michael. They are. Because the thing if you're going to.
That was a segment on Raw, basically.
Yeah.
Like, that was a Raw segment in the pay-per-view, and while it was a fun segment and I'm down with it.
And I'm cool with segments in pay-per-views now that I really see more of them, and I'm kind of, but yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's just that. It's like, you know, if you in the back believe that people are that stupid, then treat them like they're stupid. Don't just be selective about it, where it's like, you know, it's like they're stupid in the way where you kind of have to promote these things. You know, you can't just, you know what I mean, just do that, where it's just, yeah, we're going to throw something out there. And then this was the other thing that I wanted to mention with, we had Paige, where it's just, see, we put her out there, and then, you know, and then she botches. Now with Adam Rose, see, we put him out there, and look at these people. You know, they're not even cheering him. It's like, well, they're not cheering him because they didn't know he was going to be out there. Yeah,
I think he got general cheers in the match and after the victory.
Yes, definitely.
I think they were just confused as to what the hell was going on because it's not like Damian Sandow and Adam Rose have been in a feud either. You know, this was literally out of nowhere. And I'm not that angry because I'm really glad Adam Rose and Damian Sandow made it onto the pay-per-view card.
How drunk are you? You're not that angry?
No, I'm not that angry.
No, you said I'm not that anger.
I swear to you,
I said anger.
You said anger.
I knew I had Daniel on for a reason.
I knew I did. You brought Daniel on to disagree with
me. Yes.
You're stacking the deck against me in this
podcast.
Here's
your reward, Daniel.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That was your reward. Yeah. I didn't give you a Cena this time. You did good.
I'm never letting you host the soundboard ever again. I am never giving you this power. I'm changing the frickin' password. Jesus frickin' Christ.
But seriously, I wasn't that mad
because I'm glad they both made it on the card. But it just upset me because this is not a feud that was happening. I'm glad this happened, but this was legit a Raw segment
that happened on
a pay-per-view.
Yeah, if this was taken, I mean, maybe you do agree with this, Daniel. If this was taken out, we could have given, you know, time to other matches. Right?
Yeah.
And that's the issue.
No, fuck you guys. We're not taking it out. Adam Rose deserved to be on this card.
He did. That's the thing. I will
admit
that.
And so did Paul Sandow/... Magneto slash
I feel like it's one of
Damian
those things
Sherlock
where, you know what I think it was? I think this was meant to be I think this was meant to be a kickoff match, but because
slash
of Daniel
Abraham
coming
Lincoln.
Back it got pushed and they didn't want it to be an opening match because it isn't an opening match. So it just got randomly shuffled in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Where don't you think this would have been a good kickoff match?
It probably would have been. It actually would have been a great kickoff match. I would probably tune in to see that.
Dude,
yeah,
I went by the boards. I don't know if he does this often, but Damian Sandow freaking did a moonsault.
Yeah, that was actually the first time I've seen that in a very
long time. A miss for the setup, you know, but that looked really clean.
It was painful for him.
Oh, yeah, and
I mean,
it was a nice setup to the finisher.
Oh.
So I sat there kind of confused, like, wow, I hate that they're not using this guy more.
Yeah.
I legitimately hate that they're not using this guy more. And I know that, they've been using him in comedy roles. I mean, like, actually using him. This is a guy who's a Money in the Bank winner and should have won the title with that briefcase and instead lost only because John Cena was not supposed to be the only guy who lost with the briefcase.
Yeah, he really should have been
thrashed.
He should have been in one of the Money in the Bank matches this year. He really should have been in one of them. Maybe not the top one, but at least he should have been in one of them. I mean, not at his current position, but with the way he was at one point, he should have been in one of them. You know, we could have taken out someone. But either way, Daniel, anything we'd like to say before we will be moving onward and we will be cutting you off, but it's okay. Anything you want to say about anything at all?
I'm sorry about being angry with you guys.
Okay. I feel really bad. Like, I played John Cena music, and now you're better. Like, is that the effect of John Cena? Is that why I never really listened to his song, so it never really takes effect? Is that the problem? Like, should I just...
I never bought his album anyway.
Yeah, not like someone here. Mr. Ram, do you have something to tell the class?
Daniel, if you keep saying bad things, I'm not going to get you the shirt that says Black by Popular Demand.
Oh, I want that!
And on that note, goodbye, Daniel.
Goodbye.
But thank you for calling in.
Seriously, there's a shirt that says Black by Popular Demand, and I want it. That being
said... It's okay. But also, you know, just right before we move on, sorry, Daniel, but right before we move on, Rose doing the crowd, using his crowd to dodge was beautiful.
It was. Like, there's so much they can... I'm almost tired
JBL's
of doing this
funny
shit,
facts
to be honest with
were
you.
Great.
No,
excuse
I'm going to be honest with you, man. Like, I'm almost tired of doing this shit. Not the podcast, but, like, this whole...
Oh.
There's so much more they can do with so much people. And
you and I
both say it many, many times.
Right.
To the point where you and I are not geniuses. We're just stating what's in front of us. And it bothers me that people are being paid to not do anything with qualified workers.
Yeah, well,
how can I get in on that?
Here's the thing. Here's what I want to say. Ready? I have played something recently called the Total Extreme Wrestling, where you actually get to become a wrestling booker. Now, I've been a wrestling booker for about 3 hours, and I would like to collectively while playing the game, I would like to say that there is a lot that goes into these, you know, working with these people and working with storylines and stuff like that, and possibly working with people who are like, you know, a bit like. You would argue Dolph Ziggler complains, quote unquote, a bit too much, right? You might have people who are like that backstage, and that could be why they're not getting certain pushes. But what I would like to say, though, is this much: you know, when you need certain people to compete on house shows, and you don't want them to be overexhausted, when you said this to me once, where it's like, oh, well, if someone isn't on the card, they're probably at a house show, you know, or they're saving them up for a house show, and that's probably true. You know, so that's why I'm really happy with going to the New York house show and seeing some people that I might not see the New York SummerSlam Heatwave Tour house show, where you might not see a lot of people who are on the card that often.
Which is approaching
the house
fast,
show.
By the way.
Yes, which is crazy to think
you
about.
You know, so I can't wait to hear from you when you do July 12th, is it?
Yes. But anyway, yeah. But still, moving forward, I mean, again, I'm not saying I disagree with you at all. Right, but at the same time, I just, again, in my 3 hours worth of knowledge, I've learned things. No, not really. But that's how I feel. But anyway, a little quick thing. I liked seeing Jon Stewart there because I don't know if you saw this, by the way, but there was an interview with Jon Stewart interviewing Kevin Hart, and Jon Stewart just immediately pops out about how he's a huge wrestling fan, right? And he talks about, he's like, dude, he's like talking to Kevin Hart because he was talking about how he watched it with his kid, and he was like, dude, did you see Evolution come back? And I thought, oh. Like, I was like, whoa. Like, John, like, how much wrestling do you watch? Like,
yeah,
it feels as if
he
never stopped.
He's also a huge Mets fan. So shout out to Jon Stewart for being just overall, like, an awesome person in my eyes. I want your job.
Definitely.
That being said,
we're actually going to do the Money in the Bank matches one after another, the way I think they should have been booked on the card, right? So let's talk about Dust in the Wind versus Ryback Axel just for a little bit. I don't know what in the hell was up with Curtis Axel's outfit. I think he accidentally took Ryback's, and Ryback didn't know, so he had one made for him. Because the way the outfit looked, it was just very old school, kind of 90s, which again, if it was his dad wearing it, if it was Curtis Axel's dad wearing it, I'd be like, good, yeah, fair enough, that's something that they would, not Curtis Axel, though, because he's used to the little tidy shorts, not really nothing crazy with straps like Ryback. Like, it was weird. It was a weird outfit.
It's funny because I don't know if that's going to become a thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
It'll take
some
getting used to for me.
Yeah,
it'll take some getting used to. That's all I'll say. But as to the overall match, I mean, Stardust is really over.
He is. People in the crowd were doing the star thing, which is scary. It's an awkward because it kind of looks like the Illuminati period, but well, yeah, pyramid. But whatever, doesn't matter.
Gonna make that joke. I was like, it does look like the Illuminati pyramid.
But it's okay.
And then now you know, it's funny. It amuses me. Because
no, it amuses, and it's over.
Cody
by the way,
does it? You know, he's got the paint on his hands. So you're not
with
thinking Illuminati. You're thinking, okay, the Stardust crap.
When
the normal people do it,
it's frightening.
Like,
I'm sorry. I get nervous.
It's like, because without the paint on your hands, folks, it looks really weird. I'm speaking from experience here. If you want to look like Stardust and do it, please enjoy yourself. It looks fine that way. But if you don't have the Stardust kind of getup going, you know,
And it's funny if only because it's okay. Most people would argue, like, you know, oh yeah, John Cena, he does the 666 Illuminati thing, and it's like, again, I would say, well, he actually is at the top of the company, so that's kind of creepy. It's really funny with Stardust because I do think it's completely accidental, because I do not see Stardust WWE World Heavyweight Champion anytime soon. So it's just very interesting. I think that was completely by accident. I would, but I think that was completely by accident. Where John, it's like, I do feel as if there's like an air of maybe. But with Stardust, it's kind of funny, where it's just, again, I don't see this as his way of going, Illuminati, man, because he's Stardust, you know?
I'm sure by now with Cena's multiple championship reigns that the Illuminati have actually not called him for membership, but they've called him for advice. Basically, like,
how do you
make a multi-million company your bitch? We want to know.
They
want to know. The Illuminati is calling John Cena, not the other way around. Honestly, I'm being very straightforward with you people. So
No, I think sometimes, like, you know, like, John will just be walking down the street, and he'll just get, you know, and he'll be with Nikki Bella, and he'll get a phone call, and he'll look at it, and he'll say Satan, and all of a sudden, like, Nikki Bella will look at him and be like, who's Satan? You know, like, thinking, he's like, oh, it's a nickname for an old buddy of mine. As he picks up the phone, he's like, yes, sir. Like, I'm a little worried, not going to lie. I'm a little worried.
I thought it was going to be like where John has a contract with the devil, but at the same time, he's still in control. Where he picks up the phone, I told you not to call me when I'm with my woman. I'm sorry, Mr. C. I told you not to call me when I'm with my woman.
The reason why John Cena can't make certain dates is because he's also currently working matches in hell.
Yeah, because, see, part of his contract with the devil is creative control. So the devil can't actually make a move without John Cena signing off on it. And I don't know what he was thinking when that happened, but, boy.
If you could go and see some Illuminati videos, there's actually a living proof of, as John Cena actually leaving the Illuminati, the devil was holding onto his leg saying, please don't go.
Yeah, I mean, if you thought Hulk Hogan was bad, you should see the booking down in hell. I mean, honestly,
that's
not something I'm at the liberty to talk about because, you know, it's just not something I can talk about on air.
If this podcast never makes it to air, I love you, everyone.
It's on air right now.
What if it isn't? What if the second we started talking about the Illuminati, it just
cut off?
No,
it's on air. It's on air.
Oh, it says on air, but
there are people listening.
Help us. But anyway, moving forward,
Daniel
we took way too much time with that joke. What if that wasn't Daniel? We took way too long with that joke.
But he was black by popular demand. I'm done.
all right. I love Ryback, by the way, because he did the King Kong thing, and JBL referenced it, and then we had Feed Me More Chants, which were amazing. They weren't loud, but they were there.
Yeah, those were the people that I smile at.
Yes.
They made me smile. And again, like, it wasn't a bad match. It was a good pay-per-view quality match, just the same as Wyatt and Usos. Good pay-per-view quality match.
Yeah.
And in this one, though, I thought the right people won. I mean, you want to give the Rhodes brothers some fire behind them because since it seems like you're going to give the Stardust thing some actual, you know, you're going to care about it. Great. They need to start winning again.
And what's great is that, I've said this to you before, not on the air, Cody needs to work on his voice as Stardust, but thankfully, because, of course, you know, Goldust, his brother does have a voice when he's Goldust, and he can shift it and change it into doing, like, oh, you know, things like that, where Cody, not so much. However, as a match, you know, working a match, Cody is amazing. Because I feel as if, you know, you can tell how talented Cody is because they tell him, hey, you know, you need to be a bit more flamboyant, a bit more out there. And Cody is. You know, Cody feels as if, like, if you told me, yeah, this is just Stardust and Goldust, and I never saw wrestling before, I'd be like, yep, that's just how that guy is. Not thinking that he made some grand change, where before that he would never use things, you know, like, be that way in the ring.
Yeah, I think part of it is just the fact that he really, you know, must have looked up to his brother or really,
definitely,
you know, saw a lot of his brother's work where he's been able to capture that. And, you know, it almost feels like we're going long here, but to be honest with you, it's cool because this is a praiseworthy thing. You know, it's good that Cody Rhodes may have actually found his niche. And I want to see where they go with this because it seems like they're actually treating this like it matters, and that's great.
Yeah.
It really is.
Also, I hope that that little mistake doesn't break up Ryback-Axel. I know it sounds silly, but I just think there's a lot of, like, there's two little tag teams. The mistake being, you know, when Cody ducked and then Axel hit Ryback. And it sounds silly, but we've had breakups for less. So I'm a little nervous. I'm hoping that they're smart enough not to break them up after the Wyatts lost. You know, I'm really hoping that
Ryback-Axel is a relatively interesting thing right now because they matter as a heel tag team.
They do. Because there aren't that
many. Shallow tag team division. That's exactly why they still matter.
And also, speaking of conspiracies, it's kind of funny that we're bringing up conspiracies after that. The Illuminati, the whole thing. You noticed there was the gold lighting right while the segment was still going on with Curtis Axel beating up Cody Rhodes as Stardust, right? And the reason why I mention conspiracies is because we've mentioned this on the podcast before. There was a post on Cage Side saying that there's like. Talk from the back that, you know, is Kevin Dunn or are people that are with Kevin Dunn kind of, you know, in the back who are a bit more aligned to him going against Triple H? right? And you saw a bit of that, you know, a bit of like evidence leaning towards that at Payback when, yes, at Payback when they had the whole like, you know, camera shot where it was the Shield over Triple H and the sledgehammer. And for some reason, they decided to zoom in when that could have been the perfect ending, right? And we've seen little mess screw-ups here and there where I don't think I've made the jokes on air, but I believe I've made the jokes to you, like, you know, afterwards, where it's like, where, you know, in text or whatever at the time, saying, oh, look what they did here. Look how they screwed up here. Look what they're screwing up with here. Like, little tiny things. And I feel as if this was one of them, where it's just, like, really? Like, you pushed a button too early? Like, this is your job. You're working a pay-per-view match right now. You clearly aren't the new guy. You know, there are two men are fighting in the ring. You know, one of them is, you know, it's the guy who won. But, like, if it was music, I'd understand. Because maybe, you know, it's like, oh, wait, no, he's, you know, it would be a stupid thing. But gold lighting? Like, you know, that's what you do when the guy wins, when Stardust is shown to have won. Axel was going to get right in that ring and beat him up. You know what I mean? Like, I guess I'm saying, where it's like, I know it sounds silly to bring up conspiracies, but I'm just saying, it's just very, I don't want to be JBL, but it's very interesting because this was something that should have already been, like, in someone's notes, where it's like, or no one should be doing this by mistake. Like, there should be, like, a, okay, I'm not even going to have my hand on that because they're beating each other up right now. You know?
Shouldn't have my hand
anywhere near the gold switch.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Weird. Yeah, so, I mean, I know it sounds silly, but it also comes up a bit later when, I'll bring it up now even, when we have Zeb Coulter getting pulled out of the way because Kane was coming out during the first Money in the Bank match. It was really funny because he was just standing there, and you literally see a ref, like, pull him out of the way like he's an old man with Alzheimer's. It's hilarious. I want that to be gift immediately. He looks like an old man with Alzheimer's, where it's just like, get out of the way, Grandpa. What? And then the pyrotechnic went up. And I was like, oh, my God. Because it was during the first Money in the Bank ladder match, so no one expected him to come out. And that's why it was really funny. Where it's just like, really? Like, Kane now? Really? But anyway.
Yeah, that almost irritated me, by the way. And we'll get to that because, I don't know. It almost made Seth look a little bit weaker to me. But
I agree. But anyway.
You know, we'll touch on that when we get there.
Okay, so we have another segment coming up. We have Fandango, Layla, and Summer Rae, which we had some amazing things, by the way. Layla tweeting, he had a dancer before you, which is amazing to have that referenced. We have Fandango, quoting Fandango, Fandango loves triangles. Right? Again, I love you, Fandango. I've said this multiple times. I'll say it again. But... And also, I would like to say, I'm going to get some shit for this, but I like that the women were going at it. I think it was written well, and they both made it feel real, because I'm not a big fan of when every woman on the card is, you know, like this, seeming petty, but these two women just feel as if they can, you know, like, be this way, but still put on pretty good matches, right? So I don't feel as if this was, you know, the only thing that I'll say, which I'm sure you might say too, is another segment on the card? You know, like, do we not have a loaded enough card with this segment in here? Like, that's what was weird. This felt as if...
For me, I was okay with it, if only because there was build.
Yes.
You get me?
I agree. So, but shouldn't this have not been on SmackDown? See, that's the thing. The Damian Sandow thing, I, we said this was a Raw segment, it was still funny enough to, you know, keep itself there. This was build enough that I thought, why was this not on SmackDown? Why could we not
have...
Because
I thought this was kind of the culmination of the feud.
I guess so. It's just...
Fandango had to be the ref, so he had to choose between the women. And he chose Layla. I mean, well, Layla won.
But, well, I mean, no, not the match itself. I mean, remember, I mean the specific interview where it was like, Fandango, what do you think? I'm sorry, yeah, I wasn't talking about the match just yet.
I'm very sorry.
Oh, no, I understand. Yeah, no, I'm referring to the interview because,
that was very SmackDown-esque to me. I'm very sorry.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, not even wrong. That was just kind of, like, stupid.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I liked it. Again, like I was saying, I think that, you know, again, I'm going to get some shit, but I think it was well-written, and they made it feel real. But at the same time, you know, it's just like you said.
I agree,
just
the timing was unnecessary. I mean, if you're
exactly.
trying to kill time, just
make
give
a match
guys
longer.
Few more minutes in their match.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, give Paige and Naomi a few more minutes.
Exactly. Also, or even just Layla and Summer Rae, I think, needed some more time. When they're shorter than the Rusev versus Big E match, that's a huge problem.
Oh, God, don't.
Actually, I'm not as angry as you are, but here's the thing. I'm not as angry as you are. I just think that certain things in the match had to have happened sooner. But anyway, okay, almost forgot that the match was even going to happen. because of this card was so large. Where it's just like,
yeah,
guys,
it was kind of underbooked. But anyway.
Yeah.
Go
also,
on.
You have Lana screaming in this entire match, which actually started, okay, the heat that I started giving her was kind of X-Pac related. It wasn't even normal heat. I didn't even feel, I felt angry at her as a human being. So whoever told her to do that screaming were, I want them to be fired on the spot. First off, the shut up. You know, which is something that I'll say to people as a joke, was just like, oh, God, ugh, like Lana. And then just the screaming when Rusev was on the floor. I wanted to just, I was so angry. And then, even though she's great on the microphone, she had to have a segment before her match, including the entrance, including Big E's kind of run in there, which makes you think, like, okay, you know, do we, what kind of time are you trying to kill here? You know, we're... and, you know, please answer me this. You might not remember because I know your memory is a bit off. Were Money in the Bank ladder matches, were they short this year? You know, are they usually so much longer that they usually have, you know, less time? Because compared to Payback, this seemed like there was a lot on this card. You know,
I think that was pretty good length for the matches, to be honest with you.
Me too, which confuses me.
But that's fine.
Why did it feel like so much was on this card?
But
that
also,
it could even...
remember,
right.
We finished about 10:55, 10:56. Normally we finish about the quarter to.
Actually, now I realize what the issue is. We can even take this into account. Usually we have two Money in the Bank matches and the WWE
title match.
Championship. That's what it is. There we go. Thank
you. For
okay,
you, maybe.
Finally,
because for me, I'm fine.
No. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying, and, you know, we'll talk about this more later, but by the time they got to the crowd was tired, is what I'm saying. Like we said, they could have given people longer matches where they didn't, so it kind of made people feel as if they have to either cheer or boo whoever comes into that ring, and it was just tiring, I feel. But anyway, speaking of Rusev and Big E, right? I like that they kind of told a bit of a story during the match because Big E tried the same move again and was actually countered for it, which is nice because we don't see that so much. I mean, the only time I really remember seeing that recently was in Sami Zayn versus Cesaro, and that's a problem. Or Sami Zayn versus Tyler Breeze. And again, that's a problem because those are both NXT matches. So I'm very happy that we're seeing that a bit more here. However, you know, the problem now becomes... Okay, Big E, it wasn't a squash match, right? I know what you're going to say. It wasn't a squash match, in my opinion, because they made Big E look very good. He was really taking down Rusev, and he even almost broke out of the Cobra Clutch. My problem was, and I said this last time during the Payback, you know, review, they should have had him try to break the Cobra Clutch last time. And then this match should have been that he either broke it or at the very least, you know, turned it into, you know, something where he could have flipped Rusev over. And not really break it, but slam maybe Rusev onto his back, and then Rusev could have let go. Not breaking it, let go. Or hell, make it even look cooler. Rusev still has it on him, even though Big E has slammed his back onto the mat. You know, something crazy. But no, Big E almost got out, then he didn't, then he tapped, and then there was this African-American fellow, right? One of the first few rows, behind Rusev and Lana, you could see his face kind of turned, like, really? Really? Because now, I will admit, now we're wondering, at least I'm wondering, where is this going to go for Rusev? Now that, is it going to be Rusev Big E 3 and then Big E wins? Because I'd be okay with that. But where are we going with this?
That's one thing. I don't think they matter enough to get that third match, and I'm not trying to be offensive, but in terms of WWE's eyes, I don't think they matter enough to get that third match out of them. So,
I think they do because where are they going? You know, like, I don't think that Rusev is going to get a push higher on the card.
That's what I think my point is. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. And
right.
I really mean
Fair
it
enough.
Here, more than anywhere
Fair
else
enough.
Almost. Because
right.
This is such a stupid decision. To push Rusev over Big E in terms of talent, charisma, everything. Everything about that is wrong.
I think that they pulled him up too
and
early.
And now, what the hell, you know, everything about choosing Rusev over Big E, period, is stupid. Now
right.
You look at the actual build in the matches, I would argue. The matches have been pretty bad that make Big E look bad because Rusev sucks. That being said, furthermore, what the hell are you going to do with Rusev now, as you're pointing out?
I agree.
Where is he going to go? Is he going to go run into John Cena to get squashed? Because then you effectively have wasted Big E and Rusev on John Cena, who didn't need it. And I'm not saying they're going to do that. But what I'm saying is that what the hell do you do with Rusev now?
I agree.
And what do you do with Big E, who is, if anyone had forgotten, pretty goddamn good and versatile?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I really don't know. And it really upset me that we had to have this after we – the first time pissed me off. And the second time with the same result, I mean, what did that prove?
Yeah, I really think that he needs to start pinning people. I think that at this point in the game, that would make things different. Yeah, I feel you. Because it's a problem at this point. Because, again, like you said, it's too much. But, you know, let's move on because we'll probably have a lot more to say about this tomorrow. You know, during our Monday Night Raw podcast, our Monday Night Raw recap, right after Monday Night Raw, starting at 11:30, we'll probably be able to talk about this more after seeing what they do with Rusev and Big E and whoever else may be involved in Rusev's path of destruction, right? We have that segment with Stephanie, Bree, and Nikki. And not to focus on it too long, but it was very weird, if only because I thought that the Daniel Bryan neck surgery was kayfabe at that point. Because why would you include Bree at all, right? You know, like, are you just going to throw her in there to bring, you know, to embarrass Stephanie again? Because, you know, she doesn't need to be there. So, like, why are you throwing her in there to talk about, oh, I'm here for my husband? Just really? You're here for your, like, husband who's coming back for one night?
Yeah, it's funny because it's like, it's not even like he's coming back for a match. His segment was done. Like,
exactly.
I thought it was another waste of time, to be honest with you.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, waste of time, but it also made me think, like, you know, again, like, is something that we're missing here? Because, you know, why would you have her there if Daniel's missing time for it? But yeah, like you said, it must just be their way of cutting, you know, wasting time. Something really bad, though. I know I want to move away from this really quick, but it was just so bad that I have to mention it. Do people in the back not know how technology works? Like, how old are they? You know? She's showing it to her on her phone. Let's cut to actual footage, because that's how it works. But how are we supposed to even know what footage to queue up? Never mind that. No one will think how weird it is unless they know how to use a computer. And, you know, not even old people like us know how to do it. Computers are hard to master, you know. Kids wouldn't be able to understand how weird that is. Not even teenagers can. Like, how, what are you guys doing? Really? Just, you know, just, I'm going to show you this footage on my phone. They show the footage on the Titantron.
It's funny because, like, I usually get on your case for, like, being overly nitpicky and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you this one.
Thank you.
That's a pretty good point. I mean, seriously, guys,
like,
think about what you're doing.
Like, I mean, I will admit, Brie, I think, did mention, oh, yeah, you know, I have this footage on my phone. But, like, all you needed to do, like, you can, like, and I'll agree with you, where it really had to be just kind of, you know, waste time and then also promote that Vicky thing on the network. Because for no, like, there was no reason, because all you had to do was her showing it to her on her phone and then maybe, like, 3 seconds later being like, I hate you. Security, get her out. No,
ooh.
They cut to the clip as if it's just like, her phone is connected to the Wi-Fi, which means we can show the clip. None of those words, that's not even a sentence.
It doesn't work that way. She does not control the Titantron with her phone.
Yeah, she is not Solomon Crowe.
No, and God help me when we get Solomon Crowe, I will be a happy son of a bitch.
But anyway, moving forward now, because I nitpicked, quickly, we must move forward. Layla versus Summer Rae with Fandango as a special referee. Fandango started gyrating during Layla doing a submission on Summer Rae, and it's okay. Though my notes say during Layla doing a submission on Layla, so I should probably change my notes, but it's okay. I hated the CM Punk chants. I mentioned this a bit earlier. It just really upsets me, if only because, you know, as much as I love Adam Rose and Sandow, that's where you throw in your CM Punk chants, you know?
Well, a random shout-out. Layla looked really beautiful tonight, in my opinion.
Yes. I mean, she didn't, you know, even if she didn't, she still put on a pretty good match, but they should have given her more time. But still, yes, she also looked beautiful.
Mm.
But,
no, it's just a random shout, because I don't really talk about, like, Layla in general.
Oh, fair enough.
Because years ago I used to really like her because I thought she was really talented. I remember back when they didn't let her have her accent, which was kind of confusing for me sometimes to hear the accent because I remember Layla Sands' accent.
I will admit, when she came out and she was British recently, I might have seen her in her, you know, debut, and I think subconsciously, yeah, I feel like the accent is weird, and now that you mention it, that's probably why I think it's weird, because
yeah,
she didn't
no,
have
so
it in the beginning.
She didn't have it.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, that being said, so with Summer Rae, she put on a pretty entertaining show. These are both talented performers. And
yeah.
Fandango was Fandango. I mean, he did what
yeah.
makes him him, and it was just,
yeah.
it was nice to see, well, first off, I mean, I always like when they do, like, special referees that matter. You know, like, it,
yeah.
it makes... So this is him, even as a heel, he has to decide on what the hell he's
yes.
doing.
Yes.
So that was okay. And, you know, earlier I was actually stating my thoughts because I thought you were discussing the match.
Right.
This was the end to a feud, and I guess it surprised me to... So it always sometimes will get to me. Always sometimes, great. It will sometimes get to me when
yes.
the heels win. Because I know,
right,
like,
I agree.
At non-WrestleMania matches, it is perfectly plausible for the heels to get away and
yeah.
win. And I don't mean, like, oh, Seth Rollins. I mean, like, in, like, the minor
yes,
feud.
It's
you know?
Right.
So it's interesting to me because I sit there, I'm like, oh, wow, Layla wins and she gets the guy. And they stay
that's what
healed,
I'm saying.
You know? And
that's
it's just
what
like,
I'm
wow.
saying. That's what's
like,
weird
not,
about
like,
it.
There's anything wrong with it for me?
No.
But it's just
like, okay,
wow,
not even
that
just
happened,
that, by the
huh?
way. You know how we mentioned the face versus face with, you know, with
yeah.
Naomi versus... This was basically a heel versus heel, which is also
right,
weird. Because
Summer was a heel beforehand. I mean, she's now a face, if only by circumstance.
No,
but she
but
hasn't particularly
thing,
been, like, face... You know, she's still
yeah.
working on it.
They don't know how to book faces anymore, I think.
No,
because
but they haven't known how to book faces for a while.
No, but it's just weird because I feel as if they're trying to say, like, oh, yeah, because I know I've heard Vince wants to do this thing where, you know, there aren't faces or heels anymore. But they really give a lot of, you know, they really try, but then they do these Be a Star things, and they're like, oh, so you have to assume that the faces are just really good superhero-type guys like John Cena. So when Summer Rae becomes a heel by circumstance, you feel as if she's going to become like a Dolph Ziggler-type heel where he can still be cocky, but at the same time, if he's going to be cocky, he's going to be cocky at the authority. Where Summer Rae, I hate to use this word, but was just bitchy. Still. And I hate that. I mean, hell, she's even on NXT having these feuds with Charlotte, which looks as if she's going to make Charlotte turn face or something, you know? Or at least, you know, because again, she's being, if you've seen NXT, which I'm sure you have, you're Satish, you've seen how she's been kind of mean to Charlotte, kind of like, yet she's still supposed to be a face, and... Then she kisses Fandango in a way of saying, screw you having a new girlfriend. I'm still going to kiss you anyway because you're mine. It's like, well, if you're a face, you're a very crazy one.
It's funny you know? For me where I feel like the people who are booking NXT, like you argued to me before, the people who book NXT and the people who book WWE are sometimes like on different planets. Because
yeah,
I was saying, like, oh, maybe they watch it and they assume. With Summer Rae, sometimes I feel like you're right here, where they just
yeah.
don't know what the fuck they're doing, and they're just throwing shit to the wall with Summer Rae, and that vaguely they're around the same idea, but
yes.
they're booking two confusing, like, roles
exactly.
for the same person
right.
on these shows, and it's like, what the fuck am I supposed to follow? Like, am I supposed to feel bad for her because she doesn't have Fandango? Am I
you
supposed
know,
to hate her because she's
yeah.
trying to kiss him anyway? Am I supposed to like that? Like, I don't know. Like, fuck.
You know what I think happened? You know what I think happened?
Petty.
I think she filmed the movie with The Miz, and he became her Mr. Miyagi, and she basically took notes from him. You must confuse the audience while making them hate you, but also
yeah,
trying
and
to make them love you.
If your goal is being The Miz, then you should probably quit now.
Yeah.
Sorry, Matt.
You're just,
I know
yeah.
you like The Miz, but seriously.
No, but yeah, I mean, I'm meaning it more with the, you know, the face and the heel turns. But yeah, it's just also, but getting before we really quickly move on to all of these really cool Money in the Bank matches, the CM Punk chants angered me so much, really because because it's just, why are you trying to give, it feels like they're trying to give the WWE, you know, in the back, the message of two women's matches, and obviously that wasn't their point. Their point was, which sadly the WWE will not pick up on, is I don't think people like cool-down matches anymore. I don't think that's the thing now. I think that, yes, it might have been crazy to make it sound this way, but if they had put both Money in the Bank matches back-to-back, it would have been okay. They did stuff like that at WrestleMania, where, you know, where they had really, you know, good matches back-to-back, and people kept on watching, you know? But the second they got to a short Divas match that, you know, that you know, they immediately latched onto it, and it was a problem. So they, and it's not even just the divas, sadly. It's the way they're booked, and it's the way that, you know, if this was, okay, if this was the divas title match and given longer time, or hell, you cut off, you know, some Sandow and some, you know, some Rose, even though, again, we love Adam Rose and everything, and Sandow, you cut some of that off, you could have made this match a lot longer because it was very short. And that's the thing, too. It's not even just that the heel won, which confused us a little bit. It was very short, very, very short. Where it feels like no one gave them time. You know, everyone ran long, and then they didn't have the time to do what they had to do. And, you know, and the crowd, I feel, was tired. Because after you have a very spot-heavy Money in the Bank ladder match, and then all these other matches that, you know, maybe you could have even rearranged some matches, put some before the ladder match. But when you have the ladder match, then three matches after that with segments, yeah, people are going to be like, look, can we just get to the main event already? Like, I don't want to go home.
Mm-hmm. I think it was, it's interesting to me because what I take from it, when you argue to me that the CM Punk chants argued, mattered more or would have been placed better in like the Adam Rose Sandow thing compared to this,
right.
I agree with you. And on the basis of Layla and Summer Rae and Fandango, by extension, what they had going on in that storyline, that was a serious storyline meant to be taken seriously. With Adam Rose and Damon Sandow, not to say that these are people not to be taken seriously or, like, you know, taken lightly as jokers, but that is their role. You know, they are more the entertainment. So you chant CM Punk during that match, it's a bit safer because these are the guys that are for fun anyway. You know, with Layla and Summer Rae, what you're putting out there basically seems is that you're not taking them seriously. And if you're not taking
and
them seriously
don't
just because they're women, that's really, really bad. That's just stupid.
And if you just feel as if, oh, yeah, well, like, and then what else are you saying if you're not saying that? Like, again, what is the WWE supposed to say? Oh, we shouldn't have had two women's matches on this card. You know, oh, you know, maybe the match shouldn't have been as short. No, no one cares about that. Oh, wait, maybe it's the fact that they don't like the storyline. We shouldn't do these storylines because they're just going to boo them. You know, it sounds like we're making jokes, but we're just, you know, they always want to jump on the biggest negative thing they can find. You know, not they as a whole company, but certain people in the back. And I feel as if you say certain things like this and you're kind of giving them the ammunition, where I will admit it could be an issue if you yell that during the match with Rose because they haven't been so high on Rose, you know, sadly, as Vince hasn't. But at the same time, though, these are two, you know, again, this was a storyline. These were two competitors. They were, and if you had given them more time, I think they would have had a great match going. But then out of nowhere, I mean, I will admit, maybe if they did it because it wasn't the best match, but again, time. You know, they weren't given enough time. Where you give Naomi time, and holy shit, I sat there and I thought, is this Naomi? You know, is this the person that I've been seeing for months just kind of doing these booty jiggles? Which is really bad, because that's what she was doing. But anyway, let's jump to the first Money in the Bank match, shall we? Because, Swagger worried me the entire match, and I felt sad because of it. Where every single time Swagger did something, I was just like, why was he not taken out of the match, you know? Because I understand where you're one man short, but the eight people being in one match doesn't make it good, you know? 40 people in one Rumble doesn't make it good. So, I mean, just, I don't know, Swagger being in there just worried me so much, especially when they allow him to do a power bomb on RVD, you know, from the ladder, which makes me think, so, I know if you had to say, you have to pick one person, if you had to say, listen, you know, Swagger has to power bomb someone in this match, I would have picked RVD, right? But still, why are you, you know, why is the option, you know, well, because the option isn't, oh, well, Swagger's unsafe, so we have to pick someone who is a bit expendable. Is the difference between expendable and who are we going to paralyze today? Because that's the question. But,
I'm
how
sorry,
do you
but no, I mean, all right, so first off, this was definitely the match of the night, in my opinion.
Yes. Yes.
All right, so let's get that out of the way. This is the match
of
the night.
Of course.
And it was filled with a lot of entertaining spots. I mean, first off, we had the, you know, Kofi Kingston. I thought that was one of the coolest things I've seen in a while, by the way. Kofi landing on the ropes and then turning that into a little crossbody. That was cool.
Yes.
And, you know, just the storytelling of the match with Ambrose and Rollins, which...
Of course, I mean, they jumped right at each other.
That had me hyped. You know, as soon as Ambrose comes in, he's like, little walk or run... He goes into the ring and attacks Rollins. That was beautiful. That fit them because they have a blood feud. You know, they have a very aggressive hate going on where Ambrose feels like he was betrayed and stabbed in the back.
Oh, yeah.
And so I liked this match for that, like the little things. And then, of course, the big spots that were all done pretty well. And there were moments where I sat there and I'm like, Swagger, don't, because I was scared.
Yeah,
you know, no one
also,
could
Ambrose,
be hurt.
Ambrose is amazing at selling, by the way. Selling RVD's kick.
At
everything.
My God.
Yeah, it was.
His acting,
but
when they were trying to take him out of the match, was
I didn't
just
know if they were
great
or not. Because I know it sounds silly because it's like, well, no, of course they're, you know, of course it's, you know, this or that. But he took some bumps in that match where I thought, you know, okay, let's look at Daniel Bryan, right? Daniel Bryan talks about feeling in his arm based on his neck, right? Because that's a thing, right? So, you know, when Ambrose landed on his neck and then is being told your arm is dislocated, you know, this, and this, I'm like thinking, oh, maybe there's a chance, you know, where he's staying in character completely, which of course made me think, all right, so then this has to be, you know, this is kayfabe, but something about the way it happened, the exact spot that they made it happen, right, made me think, is this also on the fly? Because dear God, if it is. Like, did you get that feeling just because of how, you know, the match itself, the abuse that he took, and when it's, you know, when the spot actually happened?
I think a lot of it was just due to the way he is. You
right
know, like the way he acts. Because he is certainly, like, A-plus acting.
Well, the thing is, it wasn't even his acting because that's how he was supposed to act no matter what. Like, he wasn't going to say, well, okay. It wasn't even his acting. It's just, I mean, if you want to say his selling, so his acting in the ring, how he acts while he's fighting. Okay, fair enough. He's not, okay, good, because not acting as in, like, you know, it's like winning awards. No, it's acting.
No.
Okay,
like,
yeah,
just,
it's
like,
his
just,
ring,
you know,
psychology.
Right, everything, because he
is
the complete package in a way, in terms of he can literally do everything you want him to.
Of course. So, yeah, that I agree with completely because, yes, of course. Also, I would like to mention, jumping back to RVD for some reason, this match made him look very good, and I think that he really needed that. And he needed it because he was starting to become Jericho when he started to job out to people that I'm not saying he didn't have business to job out. Like RVD, he had business jobbing out to who he's jobbed out to, but you do it too much, and then all of a sudden it's just,
yeah,
you know,
we talked
not
about
only
that.
Does,
you know, at some point it just doesn't work.
Yeah, so I'm very happy. Even RVD thinks, oh, they don't really need me. But no, Rob, we do. For matches like this, we need you. I mean, oh, my God, you were great here. Which is strange because lately people have been saying, oh, yeah, he's taking it easy. You know, he's not taking it seriously. And I even thought that a bit. But honestly, I think they just needed him to do something like this where I think they've been saving him for something like this where it's like, Rob, just, you know, don't do anything. Don't even try. You know, we need you for Money in the Bank. We need you for TLC. Like, I feel as if they were worried. Just Rob,
yeah,
40-something years
old.
And
to be fair, you know, it seems almost like Rob wasn't Rob in his recent comeback.
Yeah.
And in terms of his, like, in-ring performance. And then tonight I thought it was arguably a lot better. Where, you know,
it
was like he turned it up again. And, you know, so we saw a lot of
the match was turned up. The match was, the match of the night better than the second, you know. And also, because the thing is, again, maybe it's because I haven't seen a Money in the Bank since the last Money in the Bank pay-per-view. And maybe, you know, and the TLC match was, you know, at TLC, was slow because there are only two competitors. But just the pace of this match had been quick since the beginning. And it felt as if this match was just, amazing. Like, there was never a point where I was like, even when they were all kind of taking breaks at, you know, of course they had to take breaks, you know, outside the ring. It felt as if their breaks weren't, like, you know, the eight men in the final match of the night, the main event, where
and I hate to interrupt you, but just basically what it was, I think, is the balance between the two matches, where you had a lot of young energy, and even besides youth, but the more athletic types in this match.
Exactly.
You had Kofi, you had Rollins,
exactly.
You had Ambrose, you know, RVD. These are guys that are doing those kind of moves, and they needed to balance that a bit better with the main match, because their main the main match where you had guys like Sheamus dominating for a bit, nothing against Sheamus, but to my point, it slows the pace down, and it can take the crowd out of it, you know? And
I agree completely.
You got a guy like Reigns, who is a big guy, but his spots are high energy. Or at least he's kind of fresh to the crowd. So whatever it is, you know, his Superman punches, his kick off the ropes, that gets the crowd into it. It's not too slow paced. But Sheamus, it's just, oh, the white noise. Oh, Irish curse. You know, it kind of slows things down, especially the 10 beats of the whatever the fuck he calls it. That's
the Bowery?
On the ropes.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
No, the whatever the fuck he calls it. I like that. It's
yeah, yeah.
That thing, that move,
right,
slows
right,
things
right, right,
down
right.
So much. And
okay.
I hate it sometimes because I know it feeds to his he likes to fight and beat people up character.
No, I agree, yes.
It can, especially in a match like this. That needs to be almost at least like medium to high paced. You know,
yeah,
that turns
yeah.
it down to like three. And you don't
exactly.
have any of that in the participants in this first match, which is what made it so entertaining.
Exactly. And speaking of Swagger again, I really think he should have been taken out because he gets to hurt Dolph and Kofi, you know, one after another. And the only thing that I liked, I think this was his punishment. He had to go body first into Kofi. Right, where Kofi was under the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically had to go body first into a ladder. And it made me think, well, okay, you know, I guess this is your punishment. And then when he had to climb up to grab the money, to try and grab the Money in the Bank briefcase, I laughed because I thought, yeah, you're not getting this. But if you did, screw Cena winning. I would riot immediately if Swagger had won after what he did. As if someone in the back thought, oh, you injured a guy. Yep, that's how tough he is. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, by the way, speaking of Ambrose, you know, with the whole injury thing, they put up the X sign, which also, you know, I know they're blurring lines now when they do that, but it still confused me because they put up the X sign, like, which if you don't know, everyone listening, the X sign is, this guy's really legit hurt, I swear. And it's actually meant to really
yeah,
be
I mean,
that
if,
in real life.
If you look back to last SmackDown, you can actually see in the, you know, with Swagger
yeah.
and Barrett, if you look
yeah.
closer, you can actually see the ref throw up the X for
yeah.
Barrett. Because he separates
yeah.
his shoulder.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is hard when they do that X thing because you want
yeah.
to think, like, oh, God. And to be fair, a part of me thinks that maybe Ambrose was hurt, but his spot after wasn't, like, really, really high tech. You know, it wasn't that big. So,
yeah.
so, like, if he was hurt, he was still able to do it.
I don't know because the way they took him out, it made it seem even cooler when he came out and then even worse when he didn't get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I assume it was on purpose because they want
because
to continue this whole blood feud
right.
thing where, like,
right,
you know.
Right, right.
And yeah, to the credit of that, by the way, I didn't like that Kane had to do it. It kind of ticks me off because I didn't.
Oh, we'll get to that in 1 second,
yeah.
sir. Kofi was about to get the briefcase. I want to talk about Kofi because he angered
Go
me.
For it.
Kofi got me upset. Kofi tried to get the briefcase, and he just couldn't. You know, they did that a few times during these last two matches where it's like,
they
you're just
that,
standing
though.
Up there. I know, but it angers me because when John Cena did it, it literally shows that it's just a simple, like, pull off. So it's not even
no,
like a clicker.
You can't
it's not
think
even
about
a clicker.
That. No, you can't think about that. That's John Cena. That's different, okay? That's
yeah,
different,
right?
Matt. You're
no,
not allowed
all I'm
to
trying,
present that.
Listen, no, all I'm trying to say is this much, all right? When Kofi couldn't get it, a simple unlatch, I thought, you know what? Maybe you don't deserve it if you can't do something so simple, Kofi. Maybe you don't, you know? Maybe, and then Dolph, right, who does the amazing thing. He doesn't oversell something. He takes the ankle lock, and he makes it look like it hurts, but he actually climbs through it. That was something where I thought, guys, Dolph's learning how to do it. Make him Cena. Guys, Dolph's learning how to be Cena. Make him do it. Make him win. Guys, Dolph is. And then when he was at the top, I mean, I screamed. And I didn't scream like my little, like, girly screams. Right? Like, I'm usually like, ah! Like, no, no, no. I was like, ah! Like, Dolph win this! Like, I was so, pure anger when he kind of didn't win. I was like, bruh! And then, and I knew something was going to happen because it's like, I was pissed. It's like, this is another thing where it's like conspiracy, where it's like, could you not have told Zeb beforehand that, you know, Kane was going to come out? Like, you really had to have him pulled from ringside.
Yeah. People may not catch on to me, but basically Zeb is on the announcer table side. And just keep your
yeah.
eye on it, right as it's just basically Ambrose alone in the ring, on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep your eye on him for a second because you can see him look at it, move closer to the steel steps. And then 2 seconds later, a ref comes up to him. No, get the fuck out! And
basically
pulls him
tackles
back.
Him like, get out, Grandpa! Eh? And then the pyro goes off, and you're like, motherfucking really? And I'm cursing if only because it reminds me. So, while I didn't catch this, it reminds me of what you mentioned at Extreme Rules. Yes. With the firemen.
Fire extinguishers.
With the fire thing, yeah, with the fire extinguishers, and you're like, wait, why is there a fire extinguisher? Oh, it's on fire. Oh, it's
yeah, it almost killed them all for me. Camera angle. Oh, look, there's some fire extinguishers. Oh, look, gas.
See, that's what I'm saying. Where again, I'm
and
not
it
a conspiracy
man. It was a great
man.
Idea to light the table.
Oh
but
yes,
they
yes.
Killed
that's what I'm saying.
It in
again,
2 seconds.
I'm not a conspiracy man because I know it might sound like I'm crazy bringing up conspiracy so much tonight, but I'm really not. Mm-hmm. But it's just again. Why are you this bad? It's 2014. How are these things not planned? You know what I mean? How are these errors
exactly.
coming up?
Like, that wasn't something that they thought 5 minutes ago. Like, oh, you know what? We should set the tables on fire. No, they planned it and they practiced it.
Yeah.
So
also, again,
knew.
5 minutes ago, you know, oh, that's right. King should come out. Let's write this in here, guys. You know, why was Zeb not told, like, because again, even if Zeb could have, like, because it's one of those things where it's like Dean was climbing, you know, again, Dean was there, the ladder was there, people were down, right? Zeb should know, and maybe it's on Zeb, hey, maybe he's old, but still, from the promos that he cuts and from the things that he does, I really don't assume that he just forgot a huge spot like that. A guy who's normally, my grandma would forget a spot like that. Zeb used to be a wrestler, you know, now he's on the microphone. I'm pretty sure he didn't forget a spot like that, just say.
Yeah, and by the way, just on a lighter note, though, one of my
yeah.
favorite moments of the night.
Yes.
If you look back when Dean is about to superplex Rollins, there's a mm-hmm. sign in the crowd that says, I wonder if Senpai will notice me. Yes. Senpai
what?
Did notice you, sign holder. And I love you,
I actually
whoever you
didn't
are.
Notice that. That's beautiful.
Because you didn't notice them, Senpai, but I, in my glory, did. And I just...
I'm dying.
I wanted to make
that
out there for people because I
yeah.
want you to go back and look if you didn't see it. That
please,
somebody
don't
just...
buy the network. Please do it. I hate. Okay, so here's the thing. Like you did, like you didn't like the end. I didn't either because I admit it was a logical story progression, but
by the way,
problem
wrong
is
little,
that...
Not the problem. The way they
no.
did it is the problem.
Here's the thing. Also, okay, the way they did it was a problem, and I also feel as if you could have made him not win. Because here's the thing. If you give it to Dolph, right... And not even just because I mark out at Dolph, but if you give it to Dolph, you can still continue the Ambrose versus Seth Rollins angle regardless. And you can now throw in a Dolph versus the general authority angle, which is kind of what they've been doing anyway. Also, you can, you know, again, just, you know, if Dolph, you know, fights and he, quote-unquote, steals the show, you know, we can still have Dolph with Money in the Bank, and then you could even take it off him. You can have the authority putting Dolph in matches to take away the title, you know, take away the title shot from him. But at the same time, Ambrose versus Seth can be a thing regardless. You know, just because Dolph won, that in no way makes you think, well, I guess Ambrose wants to hug out, you know, hug Seth now. You know, they still hate each other. They still have this blood feud going.
Right.
And also, when, you know, building up a guy versus the general authority thing until Daniel comes back, you know, I mean, you can choose John Cena, yeah, but you need someone who's actually over with people, you know, I feel, with everyone. And that's a guy like Dolph. That's just me. You know, he's genuinely
I'm okay
over.
With Ron's one because, A, yeah, story progression, and to be honest with you, I think it's really cool. Seth Rollins, that was the Money in the Bank shot.
I will admit that's cool.
I don't.
Yes.
I thought about that and just the concept of it. I was like, hey, that's really awesome. I wonder when he's going to cash in. I wonder what they're going to do with it. You know, because I always love the Money in the Bank, not only for the match, but just now I get to think about it. I get to think
it
all
just,
the time.
It worries
like, wow.
me because now, okay, I'm sorry to say this. I don't want to burst your bubble. Cena's the champion. So with Dolph, at least, you could think,
oh, but
you know.
Remember, there's a year, though.
I know.
It's
I know.
A calendar
it's just,
year. And, I mean,
yeah.
I like to think that Cena's not going to have it for a year because that would suck ass. Or at the very least, they're somehow going to actually, for once, screw Cena.
Right.
Fair because
enough.
He's obviously, the authority and Cena are
well,
not
for
the
once.
Side.
I mean, don't say for once. I mean, you know, Edge was able to, you know, get wind over Cena, but wasn't fairly recent, obviously. But don't worry. Maybe it'll happen. Just maybe.
I forgot that happened. Like, I didn't actually forget that happened, but I feel like WWE wants me to forget it happened.
Oh, I'm sure they do. They've had references to it because, you know, Countdown and stuff like that, but
yeah,
they kind of do want you to forget on
fact
television.
That Edge was the guy that could do it because
right, exactly.
he was the Money in the Bank master opportunist guy. Other people can't do that because they're not Edge.
Actually, arguably, Seth Rollins could be the next Edge in that in that, if you want to build up that case in that way.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I think they could do it with Seth.
They could.
You know, I'm not, I think, and it makes sense because it's not like Seth is a random heel. He is, in a way, like handpicked by the authority because they sent out Kane to help him.
Anyway, so let's talk about the second Money in the Bank match with the little time we have left because, I mean, again, it's not really... So anyway, Money in the Bank Part 2,
the
title.
There were good parts about it, so let's talk about this.
But the second let's also talk about some of the bad parts. The second I saw all the men in the ring, I thought they really made a mistake here. Just, like, bump someone down.
Right?
Bump someone down, please.
Yeah,
you know,
because, first off,
I don't agree now. I thought about it the second I heard eight guys were going to be involved, I thought, no.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So,
but for me, like, okay. I was happy because as the match went along, I realized that Kane had a reason for being there.
Yes,
like,
because
I had not, I don't know if other people had, had not. I had not figured out a reason why Kane was in the match. My only thought was, okay, maybe he's going to win so Daniel Bryan can take it back from him. I did not think he was being put in to help Orton.
Right.
So I thought that
also,
was the facet of the match that was cool.
Yes, also, we have ourselves a caller. I would like to put him or her through. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello, caller. Oh, hello, caller.
What's going on?
Oh, hello. Hey, where are you from? What's your name?
Oh, my name is Giovanni, and I'm from Brooklyn, New York. How's it going?
Hello, Giovanni from Brooklyn, New York. So you want to talk about this match, don't you, Giovanni?
Yeah, let's talk about it. It was, eh.
Yeah, I agree with you, Giovanni, but please expand.
Because once you had the previous Money in the Bank ladder match, it was pretty hard to top with all those athletic guys. And the more main event guys, they're athletic, but, you know, they don't really do much of the high-risk maneuvers as the previous matches.
I agree. And it's just a huge issue because, I mean, this match, I think after having such a huge match, this match really meant less, even though there was more at stake.
Yeah,
right.
It speaks to what I was saying earlier, where it's like they didn't balance out these two matches correctly, where they blew their load and put all the athletic high spot guys in the first match. And, you know, that went on earlier and got the crowd really excited. So then when you have these other ones who work a slower, less energy pace, it didn't work out. And for the most part, the match basically became formulaic because after the big spot in the beginning where Kane tried to help Orton win, it was just, is this guy going to win? Is this guy going to win? Oh, no, it's this guy. Oh, no, it's the other guy.
Yeah,
you know,
when that's a big part, when those are your quote-unquote spots for the night, that's kind of bad. You know, when those are your, because there were spots, but there wasn't, you know, everything, like you said, Satish, everything was great at the, you know,
ending.
At the first ladder match.
The ending was okay. There's one thing I did like, that whole catapult ladder kind of thing that they had going on. I thought
that
was pretty cool.
Actually,
I thought that was like a jungle gym.
That was actually frightening because
it was
okay,
frightening, but it was cool looking.
It was,
lie.
But here's the thing. I'll say this much. Okay, if we're gonna yell at Swagger for injuring people, I'm sorry, I have to yell at Roman Reigns too, as much as I love him, because it's one of those things where I scream.
So
I was like,
pretty green.
Roman, what are you doing? You know, because that's something you don't do to. Because again, Cesaro could have actually gotten hurt. That's the thing. Where there, it's not like a joke when ladders are involved and, you know, the canvas isn't, because it just really it got me so scared. It's like, I want Roman. Okay, so he did that, and then he also did some really cool things as well in the match, like right after, you know, spearing a few people here and there, like Cena. So I feel
he speared John Cena. Like, I need to stop you there. That for a moment made me really, really happy.
I feel as if what they need to do is they need to reward him and be like, you know, Mr. Reigns, you have a raise. And he's really happy. And then he goes, but you did something very, you know, dangerous to the workers. You are getting, you know, your pay is getting decreased.
That's
okay. Right. Just your pay was increased and then decreased. Be happy with it. Okay. Because I don't think that the entire match was really, like, he did anything really horrible for the entire, because again, there was a lot of good things, but I really feel like he put people in danger. Even if they had planned that, then it was a shitty plan. Because
I see your point, but you got to make it interesting somehow, correct?
Oh, that's why I feel as if he should also get the increase, because that was a moment of the year type of, like, that'll be talked about for years to come. But it was still very nerve-wracking because you have, you know, Bad News Barrett be injured. You have, I know it might sound silly to bring this up, but you have one of the, you know, one of Los Matadores being injured, Fernando, I believe. You have Daniel Bryan being injured. We don't need Cesaro.
Wait,
I know it's a weird name, you know, it's a weird chain of names. But still, you don't need Cesaro being injured as well from some stupid little ladder thing.
Right, God forbid we lose Cesaro. We already lost Fernando, and I mean that was a huge fucking
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
God forbid. You know, it was even worse than the release of JTG. I'm on the fence for JTG.
Oh, don't start me. I will cry on air.
Yeah,
we can talk about this tomorrow. JTG is the GOAT. Okay, he came in at a time. I think I should look up to guys like JTG. This man
was there for
like 8 years, and he did nothing, and he got paid. But we're going to spend it. Back the money.
Well, here's the thing. He did things, you know, but it was all, you know, just, like, I can bet you money that he put people over in NXT in the matches that don't get aired.
Yeah,
so,
you sound like
you've
listened to me
true.
Before, though, because I've gone on rants about JTG being my hero for the exact reason.
Yeah.
I'm being honest with you, where I sat, I'm like, listen, this guy is under 30, from New York City, employed in WWE for about 8 years, has done the minimum, like the bare minimum to exist
in
WWE.
I blame the IWC for the firing of JTG. You know what? I blame the internet wrestling community. You want to know why? Because I genuinely feel like WWE is on the internet right now as we speak, okay? And once they actually released the list, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They found out, they saw the comments, they were like, and they saw JTG rides again. JTG is the GOAT. And they said, holy hell, JTG, we forgot to fire this dipshit.
I'm calling bullshit on that. Because
here's the thing.
JTG has been employed by WWE meme is years old by now.
Also,
to the point
I would like to mention this too, by the way. I would like to, the only flaw in your argument, I think, is that Vince saw something on the internet. Vince, I'm fairly certain, I don't know if you heard our podcast before, you know, these specific episodes, or you know, but I'm fairly certain that Vince McMahon is told matches and is shown matches via WWE 2K14. I feel as if they just show him clips from the video game, and he goes, that was a good segment. Of course it was, Mr. McMahon. Like, I feel as if he doesn't actually watch. So to say that Vince heard anything from the internet, it's probably not true.
I just said WWE.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Vince says, oh, we left this guy here. Like, no.
Nah,
you know, but
Vince isn't online like that. I'm pretty sure someone else is writing his tweets for him.
I will say this much, though. The only thing that I'll give Giovanni here, Satish, is that they did release his name way after the original.
Exactly.
But
what,
way after
is it, like,
though?
What, 2 hours? That's way after?
Well, here's the thing. Okay. It's weird because wasn't he not part of the original list? After because he was the only one that was after the list. I will say this to the Giovanni.
No, he wasn't.
I will say this to Giovanni, though. Maybe they didn't care. I hate to say that, but again, maybe JTG, you know, obviously in the back he's not as big as he was for us on the internet. So for us, if it was us looking at the people who got fired or really trying to get info, we'd be like, we would hear, oh, you know, some people got cut, and we would say, was JTG part of them? You know, and we'd shake the guy down. But I think maybe they just heard, oh, people were cut. Oh, well, who were cut? And then that's all. But with us, if it was us actually asking the questions, you know, we'd be shaking people. I mean, just slapping interns. Tell me what you know, right? But in this case,
what was it, Thursday or something? Josh Matthews was fired. What are we going to say? Like, oh, the internet has mentioned Josh Matthews, and that's why he got fired a week later?
I would mention – I know. That's an issue, too, I think. I don't think they were doing much with Josh. But I feel as if – no, here's the thing. I feel as if Josh Matthews is just a simple case of they're just now releasing more people. They're looking at what they need to trim the fat, and they're just releasing more and more.
It's no longer a billion-dollar corporation. Let's not forget about that.
Yeah. But what I will say, though, with JTG, again, it was a bit later, but I'm not saying that they saw us talking about it on the internet, but at the same time, maybe they just didn't care as much. You know, maybe that's why they kind of just didn't really care about putting him, you know, in the main few. And, I mean, you know, again, you know, it would be funny, though, if they were just like, oh, who are we cutting? Well, this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one. Oh, and you know, people make jokes about JTG. Holy crap. Like, just literally JTG, you know, they walk up, excuse me, Mr. JTG, shh, I'm a Bush. Mr. JTG.
Exactly, that is my theory.
Mr. JTG, you're a Bush inside Mr. McMahon's office. Damn it.
No.
Like, I knew I should have. No.
For me, I just assumed that he had these really incriminating photos of Vince that he just realized after 8 years were photoshopped. Like,
yeah.
That's my theory. That is completely
like,
my theory.
It's just looking at Vince McMahon and Shawn Michaels, these were photoshopped, damn it. But for you, no, Vince was the one. No. JTG photoshopped them using, like, he didn't use Photoshop. He used Microsoft Paint. But Vince McMahon was like, these photographs, they must be, you know, because he actually did that. So he was like, oh, God, he has photos of me and Sean. It's like, sir, those are two stick figures. That is one inverted stick figure with another stick figure standing up. Vince kind of squints. Damn it, you're right, Shane. Just... And then he fired JTG on the spot. But seriously, though, we've gotten slightly off topic, but it's okay because JTG won the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Exactly.
He won the
JTG signs tonight.
And really,
we're surprised. Where
we
saw John Cena win, and Matt, if you heard, and Gio, if you heard too, John Cena, according to Michael Cole, whether you love him, you hate him, whether you boo him or you cheer him, became the greatest champion in WWE history.
What really worries me is who fed him that line, because it wasn't him.
Vince.
Someone, here's the thing. It had to be Vince, but it's just so weird because usually they protect, even John Cena, they protect all of their talent, where they say things like, you know, oh, yeah, this might be the best match we've ever seen. Never, this is the best match we have ever seen in our 37 years of, you know, usually it's just this, you know, this may be, or this is the, you know, this can be the best
match.
But it was just so weird to just say, he is
John Cena, which I never do. I mean, he did win the title 15 times now. No one else
but
really did it.
Hasn't Flair as well, or am I still always off with my statistics and Flair's a 14
time? Flair is 16. I think it's an unwritten rule that no one should ever pass Flair. I think 15 is it for John.
That's what I'm saying. That's the thing, though, too, by the way, where, you know, Tish and I have mentioned this on this podcast and on others. Do you think this, Giovanni, do you think they've blown their load? Do you think now that this is a huge issue that John, and I know it might sound silly, a huge issue, I don't want John winning anymore, but if he had to win only one more, right, and it had to be on his way out, isn't this kind of a waste for the guy where you could have given it to someone else, anyone else?
Well, honestly, you have to think of it like this.
Right.
The WWE's problem is, like, they can't create big stars. I mean, they do, but then they just get de-pushed, right?
Right.
So think of it like this. If Daniel Bryan was not injured, we wouldn't have this problem at all.
Well, obviously.
We wouldn't,
but I still feel as if they could have. I feel as if you could have given it to anyone else just to even.
Who's deserving of it right now? Who do you think?
I'm not saying that someone, let's say like Bray Wyatt, is super duper deserving. However, what I am saying is that he is deserving, but I mean, like, in the ring, I understand you can say he's kind of new, right? Because, you know, getting it so early. But still, I mean, hell, look at Cesaro at least then. Cesaro, I'd say, is deserving. His momentum is kind of cooled down, but something like that would probably make it red hot, and then it would immediately help his face turn, because he can speak on the mic. He's just not as good as someone like Paul Heyman, because obviously Paul Heyman's Paul Heyman. But if you were to really want, you know, Lesnar versus someone, and you can easily turn Cesaro face and, you know, and have him fight Lesnar at the pay-per-view to either win or lose. And hell,
but
even if Cesaro
big
won.
Big money, though, because that's what WWE wants. They want big money. And Cena and Lesnar, whether you like it or not, is big money.
Is this big money?
Why is that big money? Because it's already happened. You know, I'm not debating you here. I'm just like, in my head, it bothers me. I'm worried now. Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
We have Lesnar who just beat the freaking Undertaker. That's huge.
He
hasn't wrestled since. On the other hand, we now have quoted the greatest WWE champion ever. How is he supposed to lose now? You know, like, how does that work? It irks me so much.
Because you beat Brock, you beat The Undertaker, okay? 21-1. That's how you lose. If John
but The Undertaker wasn't
else,
the
would,
greatest. He wasn't the greatest WWE
Lesnar.
Champion in history, though.
I don't care.
He wasn't also, the greatest. So, by extension, John Cena's better than The Undertaker.
John Cena's
so
the
Lesnar
best
has
sucker in the industry, too. I don't care.
No, but that's
what
I'm saying.
What I would like to say,
Cole
I would like
so
to point.
Stupid.
No, again, Cole. Whoever, again, I don't think Cole did that, because if Cole did that, I feel like he's going to get, a stern talking to, because you don't say shit like that. Someone
no,
fed
I'm blaming
him that
half-half, because I don't know.
Okay.
I feel like Vince had him say something of that nature,
it
but Cole was definitive with it. Do you get what I'm saying?
Well,
like, I'm
no,
sure
but they have to. But I've heard that. Okay, I've heard that Vince yells at them if they don't say what he wants specifically. So I can bet you money that sometimes he'll just say actual lines, because that was the line that closed off the show. So I'm sure the second John held up the, you know, was what got the titles. It was like, you know, it was like, he's the best champion of all time. He's the best champion of all time. Best champion of all time. Because what would happen if he didn't say that at the end? What would happen if Michael Cole said, "I'm not going to say that, sir"? That is a
he'd
huge
be fired,
problem.
Probably.
Yeah.
No,
probably.
But it's just like, I hate it because legit, another two words, one of the best, one of
that's
the
all.
Top three, one
right,
of
right.
the best, to,
yeah.
you know, just any,
no, I agree,
leave
I agree.
It open for debate,
also,
for God's
something
sake.
I would like to say, I agree, and something I would like
I'm
to
no
say
I'm no Cena hater anymore,
Gio.
Man. I don't hate the guy anymore. I'm done. I'm just done hating on
Have
him.
Have you been
oh,
drinking
okay.
tonight, too?
No, you know what I think it is? Here's the thing, and here's why I want to argue with
you.
Or you
not care either, too, because that might
here's
be the opening
thing.
Of our show right there.
That's the thing. Because Giovanni here is saying this, I would like to say, like, this is my argument to why I don't think Cena is going to draw in a lot of money. Again, Lesnar will, but I don't think Cena will, because I think people are becoming apathetic, and that's a huge issue. That's what we opened up our show with a bit of, where I said, the problem is that I don't feel immense anger, and I don't feel immense, you know, happiness, where, yes, there are going to be some people that feel really happy. There are going to be people that feel that are going to feel really angry or are going to want to
Correct.
See Cena get his face ripped up.
And then there's
but I
people
think,
like us, it's like, you know.
But that's a huge
John
issue.
Cena,
because,
you know.
But that's, no,
like,
but here's why that's a huge issue.
He loves this business, you know, he's a good
yeah.
guy. He's improved wrestling-wise, sure his character's ass, but, you know.
But
I,
here's
I
the thing, though.
It's John Cena, you know.
Right, but does that make you want to really see SummerSlam if he keeps it until SummerSlam? Will that make you think, I need to renew my network immediately?
SummerSlam needs
what?
A good match. It needs a big match. It's like the second, it's like the second WrestleMania, you know what I mean?
But
it's,
that's the
he's
thing.
He's going to keep it until SummerSlam,
but
and Brock's
going
to take it off of him.
But, no, but again,
that's what's
Lesnar
sell
versus...
The
You really think that, so again, so you, okay, so Lesnar versus Cena, with the way you seem so apathetic towards Cena, that would sell you for the pay-per-view?
No, selling you is Brock Lesnar murdering him completely.
But that's the thing, though, you don't know about that before the pay-per-view, and that's the problem, because there are currently people who, you know, like Satish Ram, and a bit like myself in a way, that are sitting here thinking, so yeah, is Cena really going to lose it now? And
He's
that's a huge issue.
Definitely losing it.
Okay,
he
that's the thing. I want to agree with you. I want to agree with you because I want him to lose it to Brock Lesnar. But we don't know, and that's a huge problem. Where we don't – I understand that for some people uncertainty is great because I will admit, yeah, uncertainty is a good thing, obviously, you know. But for this one match, uncertainty obviously didn't win, you know, because as mm-hmm. Satish opened up the show with – we knew he was going to win, and that was a huge issue. Where you could have given it to anyone and had anyone drop it. And like, you know, a pay-per-view or two from now, somehow, where even Bray Wyatt, here's why it would have been great for Bray Wyatt, a little tiny thing. Bray wins
well,
it. Kind of Bray treats it.
But go on.
Here's the thing. Bray treats it like shit because he doesn't care about the titles. Basically, he even drops them himself in a weird way. I know that sounds really bad, but it's just as if to say, do I have your attention now? Is this all I really needed to have your attention? Because even if he dropped it and John Cena tried to pick it up and fight him and win, as bad as that sounds compared to what they've done recently, it's still me saying, well, you know what? Yeah, John's kind of fighting for the titles themselves. This kind of makes sense, you know? Like, fighting as if to say these actually mean something, where Bray's saying, no, they're shitty. Right, and then you know Cena wins. As bad as that sounds better than just Cena coming out on top over everyone. Well, by the way, sadly we didn't get to mention this. Barely doing anything during the match.
Correct.
Did you guys
true.
Notice that?
Very true. Yeah, I did kind of notice that. He was outside the ring most of the time, but then he
and
came in to do some little spots, and that was it.
See, that's the problem with the match where, you know, he seemed as if he, like, okay, it would literally have been if, like, Alberto Del Rio won, who, by the way, barely got promoted in this match. It was very upsetting. Did you notice that too, Satish? Del Rio, like, every single time Del Rio tried to get up, he got beaten down.
Yeah, it almost seemed like a mockery when he had his 30 seconds of fame in the match, in my opinion.
I thought he was in it. I was like, oh, yeah, Del Rio's in here. Huh? What has he been up to?
Yeah, no, and it's funny because, you know, the way you describe Cena's tenure in this match, it's almost heel-like. And I always talk about this because it's funny, but...
Yeah.
Come on. Don't come on. Don't go there.
We don't want him to be a heel.
No, we're just saying it'll never happen.
It'll never
happen. Right, yeah, I agree with you. I'm just pointing out that it's always funny because Cena being the face he is always... Like, it's weird because when Vince talked or mentioned, like, backstage or whatever, that he wanted to change this face-heel dynamic, a lot of his top faces do really heel the shit, and it's just a matter of who does what. You know, where, as Matt was describing, if Alberto Del Rio was the one who won this match, you would say, man, that was a heel. He snuck up and won. But John Cena heroically won. You know,
he
defeated
odds. By taking down two guys. Yeah, and it's just, also, speaking of Del Rio.
He overcame the odds, guys. It's what he does.
Here's the thing, though. What's weird is, though, is that, here's the thing. I almost would have been okay then, because it's weird because they gave Roman Reigns such a cool spot where he beat up everyone, which it's funny because, again, it's maybe because it's fresh with Roman doing it or because he's actually really huge in a way that doesn't seem like John Cena, where John Cena looks roided up a bit, where I thought, oh, okay, this actually seemed like he could do that, you know, where Roman could take out a bunch of guys. Where Cena, in a way, only took out two guys, because, again, we mentioned this a bit earlier. In the first Money in the Bank ladder match, everyone's rest spots seemed okay because the two people that were going in the ring were very tough. Like, we were very fast and quick whenever. Where in this case, it felt as if someone like ADR was just sitting, you know, oh, I can sleep. You know, like just sitting out there going, oh, this is actually very comfortable out here. Where it didn't feel as if he was, where it didn't feel like, oh, I got to get back into this match, you know. Where, and that does usually happen, I'll admit, with certain Money in the Banks and things like that, where it feels as if a lot of the people outside are just taking a nap. But in this case, it really felt that way, where somehow everyone was taking a nap. Cena got in, did that really kind of, you know, cool spot, and then climbed up, and then, because of his never-give-up attitude, found out how to unclip the thing. and then thought, ha-ha, I got them. And with another man's blood on my chest.
By the way, yeah, two things. One of my favorite things in the match was Randy Orton's RKO to Cesaro off the ladder. That looked really smooth.
Yes.
Secondly, Orton bled like a pig, a stuffed pig,
which
as Jerry
scared
used to
me
say.
It wasn't supposed to happen.
I thought it was supposed to happen, if only because, you know, when you know that's supposed to happen, you don't care. We're like again, another thing where someone should really be talking to Reigns about, where it's like, hey, Reigns, that wasn't supposed to happen. You know, be a little, you know, less handsy on the guy. Like, I believe Roman Reigns literally got a handful of blood. That's what I'm saying. Where it's like, hey, Roman, you know, like, pull at him, but pull at his shoulders, you know? Like, the guy is bleeding from his head. That's not supposed to be happening. Don't keep it going, you know? Well, that's what I'm saying. I thought it was supposed to be happening because he did not stop at all.
He briefly stopped, though. The doctors did check on him.
Yeah, no, I honestly think that was the fault of Reigns. Like, that was a bit of a... It, you know, talks up the fact that Reigns, while he's great while doing his spots, is still a little green in the ring, especially in a match like a ladder match where he's just not experienced with it.
That's why he had Rollins and Ambrose with him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and, you know, Rollins and Ambrose, the more experienced wrestlers overall, period.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
while we're on that subject, shouts out to Tyler Black, a.k.a. Seth Rollins, you're the man. Just saying.
Right. Right. That is, and that is true.
Roger
he is
Strong,
the man.
Back at Glory by Honor, ROH days. He was awesome. Just saying.
Just put him
in trunks, man. Put him in trunks. That's it. You don't need to do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Just
put him in trunks.
Yeah, I agree. He would look kind of cool in trunks. Although I do like him as an X-Men villain from the 90s. But also, I will admit, by the way, Sheamus, I think, made me mark out for him just once. And this might be the only time that I'm ever actually marking out for Sheamus.
You can't see me, fella?
Yeah. The only time I was just thinking, like, oh, okay. I'm okay with this.
I did a clap there. I was like, oh, I never knew you had that in you, Sheamus. Good job.
I agree. It was also I knew that obviously Sheamus wasn't going to win, but I would have loved him to have a match against Lesnar. just because I feel as if he's good enough to do, you know, to do that kind of match, and he's a face, but enough of one who, you know, likes to fight, that it would actually be a pretty good match. So,
okay.
But hey,
okay.
We couldn't get that.
See that.
We couldn't get that. But anyway, I'm so sorry, Gio. Sadly, we're going to have to let you go because we're wrapping
okay.
this up. But please call again. I mean, this was a great conversation. Definitely call again. You know, of course, as I'm sure you know, we have a Monday Night Raw podcast tomorrow. So if you're actually going to watch Raw tomorrow, definitely, you know, tune into our podcast at 11:30 and, you know, call in whenever we're talking about something that you want to talk about.
I might actually do that. We'll see
you
what
should.
Happens tomorrow.
All right.
Hopefully
but
it doesn't
suck. You know, hopefully, yeah, hopefully Raw doesn't suck. But again, thank you for listening in and, you know, have a great night.
Yeah, thank you again.
See you later.
It's funny because he ended off with, you know, hopefully it doesn't suck. And I feel like that's the motto for me every time I turn on Raw. Hopefully this doesn't suck.
Yes. But yeah, that's a problem. But anyway, so sadly we're wrapping up our show. You know, John Cena is the greatest WWE World Heavyweight Champion of all time, clearly. A world champion of all time, clearly. I don't know what the hell's going on there. But again, we'd like to thank you guys for listening to those guys. Sadly, we're going to be cut off soon, but you can also listen to us in the archive where we will be talking just for a few minutes extra. But again, I would like to thank you guys for listening to those guys. I'm your host, Matt Marrero, and you are, of course, Satish Ram, are you not?
Yep.
Yep, so again, you know, so yeah, that's what's happening. Good show, right? Good show?
We got our events out. I mentioned the sign, so we're good.
Yeah, witty banter, exactly. This is the time. If we were actually on television, things would kind of get dark, and you would just see us looking at each other, just going like, oh, ha, 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 but I'd really be calling you an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, we're slowly rounding down. 10 seconds left. How do
I
you
like
feel?
You're counting it. You're breaking the fourth wall.
Breaking the fourth wall. But yeah, I think we're here. Yep, we're here. Hello, everyone. Now we're on After Hours, where we will be talking about everything. Okay, actually, Satish, I wanted to mention this. I don't know if you know. Do you know what crossed is?
Crossed?
Yes.
I'm not sure or what context.
It's a very creepy UK comic. I say creepy because... It's basically like a zombie comic. However, I'm going to use the words fucked up. It really is. Don't read it. But it's about this, you know, people who become basically zombies, but they give into their inner desires, which are really bad. I mean, you know, bad things.
Oh, yeah, but it's like their deepest, darkest inner desire.
Yes, exactly.
So it could
yes,
be
yes.
like raping children or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm aware.
Okay. So you know the whole cross symbol on the forehead, right?
Correct.
Randy Orton. When he was bleeding, climbing up the ladder, he had the cross symbol, and I got really freaked out because I was like, Kane is there, and I was like, please don't do anything really sexually wrong to Kane. I was like, please, this is a family show, though you're bleeding like a stuffed pig, to quote JR.
So much
I was
so
just,
that he left the mark on Cena's abdomen.
He left the mark on Cena's abdomen. I think Roman Reigns had to wash his hand of the. Roman Reigns now has to say, I've washed my hands of blood.
Yeah, no, he can definitely make Shakespeare references
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah, but also, you know, but sadly we're wrapping this up, but, you know, I would love to talk even more about this. Giovanni was definitely, you know, a great guest, and of course Daniel being you know, our lovely...
A regular caller?
Yeah, a regular caller. But no, Giovanni was a caller, but we do know him personally. That lovely, lovely man, him. And, you know, and John Cena is his favorite wrestler, has always been. Ever since he was the second Giovanni was born, even before John Cena was on the wrestling scene, he just loved. He was like, one day there will be a man called the Prototype. Yep, I'm quoting.
Wow, that's bringing it back for that reference.
Yeah, I'm just quoting Giovanni here, but yeah, so John Cena won. We're all very sad. Some of us are angry, but it's okay because none of it's going to matter because hopefully Lesnar wins, but maybe he won't.
For a moment, I just had to yawn because we're talking about John Cena. For me, I know that Giovanni, you know, was trying to contest that. All right, so Cena has to lose here.
Yes.
It
bothers
for multiple reasons.
Right.
One, okay, so Cena has to lose to the guy. I'm not disagreeing with Giovanni here. I'm disagreeing with potential booking. Cena has to lose to the outsider part-timer, B. How am I supposed to believe credibly that Cena's going to lose now when you're trying to build him up as the super champion? You know, where it's like,
yeah,
hey.
Yeah, I mean, unless,
yeah,
which would be, I will admit, it would, sorry to interrupt, it would be nice if they're actually trying to make an Undertaker part two, in a way, where they're trying to build him up as so super-duper strong, and then Lesnar comes in and destroys.
I mean, that would be,
I would argue that. It would.
Because then what happens, like, who beats down Lesnar? Because for me, in this case now,
yeah,
pre-injury, immediately I say Daniel Bryan. Because
right,
I say longevity, you know,
right,
fans
right, right,
love him and stuff. Now, do you want to give that rub to a guy that, I hate to say it, you know, is hurt? You know, and this isn't
well,
like a quad
right,
injury.
That's
this is like...
That's why there's a slight chance that they may be giving it to the guy who's a part-timer, if only because they assume that with him gone for a while, like, okay, Giovanni said this, where it's like they don't like to build top guys, and I think that's the case right now because they don't want to give the guy a push too soon without them really giving the okay or having them trained, even though Cesaro, I would argue, is not too soon. But hey, what the hell do I know, right? But anyway, I still feel as if they didn't want to give someone that push, so if they're going to give it to a guy who's going to leave, they're going to have authority shenanigans saying, you know what, let's forget that whole 30-day rule. Brock is okay. Brock is protected, or something stupid like that. And then Brock will basically get some heel heat from this until he comes back, hopefully maybe only a pay-per-view or two later, to then have Daniel Bryan crush him. Hopefully. As, you know, beat the big demon. Hopefully.
I'm at a point
because,
where I know
right,
a few months ago,
right,
I was basically guaranteeing myself I'm going to renew the network, and I was calculating
it
into my expenses, you know?
Right.
And I'm not as sure as I used to be, I'm being honest. I know that I get petty. I know I get really confusing and weird with my WWE criticism and stuff like that. But
No.
I'm honestly sitting here thinking, maybe I don't need to renew the network, and maybe I could save the $60.
See, that's what I'm saying, and that's what I was trying to, like, explain to, you know, to Gio and to people without really, you know, saying it outright. Yeah, if Cena wins, you know, which is a problem because the way your network subscription was, there's a chance that you'll be worried about SummerSlam so much that you won't renew it till the day after SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Which is a bit crazy. Although I think your contract does go through SummerSlam, does it not?
Yeah, I think I purposely, if I remember, I was calculating, so I waited
right,
I waited to buy it so it would go through SummerSlam, the projected
date
for SummerSlam.
Just a week, you know, just
yeah,
to see where it goes from there, which is good. I think everyone should have done that because I don't think Lesnar versus – that's the thing. If people bought the network the first day or the first week, that's actually a huge issue because I don't think Lesnar Cena 2 will draw in the money as much as they wanted to. Because, again, yes, there are a bunch of casuals. I will admit that. But, okay, Cena Rock drew in people mostly because of Rock. Right?
Yeah, and
Lesnar
also part
is
of
not
it,
Rock.
Cena Rock and Cena Rock 2 was still pretty much new. Cena
right,
Lesnar is not new anymore. This
no,
has happened. Cena has won and prevailed
yeah,
and then no-sold it. So it just
exactly,
it, this is not like Cena, for lack of a better name right now, Stone Cold Steve Austin. This is Cena
right,
and a guy
right,
he has beaten before badly.
Right.
So
and, we're going to have to cut this short. But before we do, I would like to mention something that I find funny. Apparently the network screwed up, scheduling-wise. I don't know if you know. Well, you noticed that. They played the Money in the Bank pay-per-view twice. And I say this is a screw-up because unless they're doing budget cuts that they told no one about, they always have an aftermath where they have interviews with all the superstars talking about their matches. And they've been doing this for the last few pay-per-views. So I'm very confused as to why there wasn't one this time. The Money in the Bank pay-per-view was played again. And you even mentioned it was made one continuous stream.
Yeah, there was some kind of issue with the upload, by the way.
Yeah.
That this is PS3. This is me speaking
right,
of PS3, by the way,
right,
for those of you who are questioning. Wondering to themselves, like, hey, what the fuck is going on? Basically, because when I hit from beginning,
yes,
at about 11, let's say past 11, so let's say 11:05, when Money in the Bank
right,
originally ended, if I hit from beginning, it started me in the Layla Summer Rae match and then told me I was about 40 minutes into what was like a 57-minute program or something.
Yeah.
And it warped the two things together, where at one point, if I hit from beginning, it started me at like 53 minutes. And this was out of, like, an hour 20 program, because what happened was, if I went backwards, I got the last match of Money in the Bank, but if
mm-hmm,
I went forward, I got the first match of Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
And I was in this purgatory where I couldn't do shit, and I was confused.
Which is
like,
funny,
WWE Network,
yeah, because you wanted to re-see
on?
A few things before coming onto the podcast.
Yeah, I wanted to rewatch the first ladder match for my
it was
own
very,
conference.
It was very interesting. Yeah, it was just very interesting, where it's just, I'm wondering, it's like, did they screw up? Because never have I seen them do this, because usually they have, like, it would be as if, like, you know, maybe hopefully one day they have Monday Night Raw on the network, you know, while it's airing or somehow, and then immediately have Monday Night Raw right after, where it's like, no, wait, guys, you have, you know, you have the backstage pass.
Right.
So that's the thing. So I'm very confused. I'm wondering if they cut that out because of budget, which would be really funny because, again, it just we don't know things. We get so many rumors, and yet we don't know some of the basic things until they just don't happen. So I'm wondering if it'll get uploaded to the network with a bit of, oh, crap, you know, where if someone actually screwed up, which, again, would make me think, and, you know, I must end this on conspiracy theories. Why? You know, who screwed this up? Like, why are there these little mini screw-ups that are currently happening? Like, what, are they working these guys to the point where they're not getting sleep? Or Seth Rollins? Yeah. Is Seth Rollins making them not get sleep? I don't know. But what I will say is, you know, good night, everyone. I would like to thank you guys for listening. Fuck you, Seth Rollins. I'd like to thank you guys for listening to those guys. Definitely like us on Facebook. As you've heard, we do a lot of different shows. We, you know, we do, obviously, Monday Night Raw shows. We also do Dragon Ball Z movie shows, sadly, not with Satish Ram, but with my fellow co-host Tristan Walter. We also do This Week in Comics, where we sometimes talk about comic book rumors, but all the time we talk about some of the newest comics that have came out that week with my guest co-host Anthony St. Andres. And yeah, so, you know, thank you guys for listening to those guys yet again. I will be playing Giovanni's favorite Superstars theme song. I will be playing him out with this. And again, thank you guys for listening in.
Can't see.